The views expressed on PFW in Progress are not those of the New England Patriots, its affiliates, or any of its partners. Content may not be suitable for all audiences. Listener discretion is advised.
The following takes place between 12 p.m. and 2 p.m.
This is PFW in Progress.
What is that? Someone made a tape of something dying or something.
Turn that crap off! What's going on?
I want this music out of my head.
Hey, turn that off! Turn that off right now!
PFW in Progress with Red Kirsch.
Well, Dick, here's the deal. I'm the best there is, plain and simple. I mean, I wake up in the morning, I piss excellence, and nobody can hang with my stuff. I'm just a big, hairy American winning machine. If you ain't first, you're last.
Paul Perillo.
Shut up in here. I'm trying to sleep. One of you turds is about to get smacked in the mouth.
Hey, stop yelling at me, okay?
And Andy. And Andy?
Hey, Ryder!
Please be 18.
Andy Hart.
We were shellbacks together, Andy. You got payback coming.
Eric Scalavino.
Remember that time we got kicked out of biology for playing with Matchbox cars?
Yeah!
Who's retarded now?
For now, anyway.
My husband Gregory and I wish only for that which every other couple wishes for. To tame Komodo dragons in Sri Lanka.
PFW in Progress, part of the Patriots Football Network.
Hakuna Matata, bitches.
Welcome to PFW in Progress. It is Thursday here at Gillette Stadium. We're a day away from the Patriots' third preseason game of the exhibition season against the Carolina Panthers.
This time it counts.
Just came from a production meeting.
Not really.
I walked in on a production meeting for the preseason broadcast. Do you guys actually talk about the show, or you just sit around like shooting the?
Well, we're the only ones who talk about the show.
You missed the production meeting part. Andy and I were not part of that either because the schedule got sort of
right.
Jiggled.
So that
jiggled
was the around. End of it. It was already over.
It had already happened.
And they're going back.
There's a couple more players that are going in. They had, you know, Bill Belichick went in and Tom Brady went in before Andy and I got there.
Right.
It was supposed to be the other way around. It was supposed to be Brady after Bill, and Brady ended up going before Bill, so we missed him.
Mm. Mm.
And there was a little break in between because the team had a walkthrough.
Unprofessional. All right.
Who was unprofessional?
The scheduling.
Us?
Stuff happens. No. You're at the whim of the head coach, is first and foremost.
At the whim of a madman.
I didn't call him a madman. I just said you're at the whim of the head coach.
From Speed.
When he shows up, you do it.
Dennis
All right.
Do you have access to that room?
Speed, right? The bus?
Yeah.
We
Speed,
get access
right?
to that room.
What do you the need whim of a madman.
To get in
like
there
that.
For our show, for anything. I come down to buy, to not buy a release, to get a press release. I can't get in there. Can you get me access to the damn room? And the Keurig machine?
I guess so. Ask Stacy.
I need access to that room, and I need access to KSP.
Can you? But
I have access to that room.
See? Why does he have access to that room? We shoot a TV show in there. He doesn't even go to Belichick press conferences, yet he has access to that room, and I don't.
How did you get access?
I just
always
had it.
Yeah. I keep hoping somebody will realize it. You know what I do? I go by there, and I just keep swiping. Like 10 times in a because you know how they can see every time you and I think sooner or later somebody will notice, wow, this guy seems like he needs to get into that room. Should we give him access? It hasn't worked yet.
Or they'll think the opposite. This guy's trying to break into that room.
It's
don't give him access.
Like, I guess. I mean, just ask Stacy. I mean, it's his room. He's the one that has to approve it.
Okay.
You know?
I don't know why I said that like that.
Just thought I'd go to my department head.
Yeah, I thought you carried weight around here. I didn't know you.
Oh, he does.
Considerable.
Oh, I do? I don't know about that. Anyway, webradio at patriots.com is the email address.
Not 508-298-0298
is the ace ticket hotline. 855-PATS-500, toll free. We got a lot to talk about as we get ready for this big game in terms of preseason game. Brady expected to play at least the first half.
What about Gronk?
Historically, well, that I don't know about. I'm not willing to make any statements about
Gronk. I don't want to see him play in that game.
You don't want to see him play all year.
Right.
Why are you so mad about that?
Just so you
Why
know
are you so mad?
Hey, that came up at the production meeting.
How did that come up in the production
meeting? I don't
really
remember.
It just did.
I'm thinking we should hold Revis out so when we do the negotiation for next year, he's in full health.
I would hold Brady out.
Yeah.
Right? You need Brady in the postseason. You can't have him early.
Yeah, Brady said yesterday he wants to play a lot.
Yeah.
No, he said Bill told them expect to play a lot. Then he quickly followed up with, now what that means, no one ever really knows.
Right. Well, I mean, he's done everything from play the first half to early fourth quarter, so it could be anything in between there.
And it could involve some other quarterback. You know, it's not beyond right. Bill that Brady plays 2.5 quarters, Garoppolo gets thrown out there, Brady starts the third, Mallett comes in mid,
that's happened.
He messes with that sometimes too.
Yeah.
You never know what he's going to do.
But so that's kind of a given that Brady will have extended play.
Well, they all Eric, will. The starters.
But Eric's question is a good one, and it leads into not just Gronk, but guys like Easley and some other players.
Those are the two big ones we were actually just discussing in said production meeting. And Matt Chatham was saying he can't imagine just being thrown out there in week one in Miami if you're Gronk. He would want to personally take a hit, scab up a little before he gets out there.
Gronk showed last year he didn't need that.
Well,
he
everybody
came back out, and he was Gronk almost from the get-go.
But they kind of didn't have a choice there. Right. There was no games to put him in to warm him up.
No, I'm talking about the first 6 weeks of the regular season. He didn't play.
No, I know that.
And he came out in week 7.
But he wasn't ready. He didn't play because he wasn't ready.
Right.
If he's ready now, you have the option of 2 preseason games.
Oh, you mean right now?
Right.
Oh, I thought you meant in week 1.
Right.
So you have the option of allowing
him. I mean, it might mean, you know, if Gronk doesn't play, I wouldn't rule him out for game 4.
I would not either.
Even if he's out with the scrubs.
4 hits.
Just to get him out there.
We saw it a little bit with Will Fork and Kelly in Washington as the only, you know, names really to play.
They just needed to get
some. So maybe Gronk does. And I actually think there's a chance of that. I don't think we're going to see him this week. I that would seem a little quick to me, based on the slow process they've been going.
Although the only thing I've seen in the past is, and not just the Patriots, but it seems like teams, when you have a guy in that situation, their first look, you like to do it at home. It's just, you know, if some, you know, things are more familiar. And
well, the only flaw with that is maybe you want him to get used to the road. He hasn't been on the road.
That's true.
Right? He didn't go to Washington. Gets a road trip in.
Yeah, that's
true. I don't
know.
I'm just throwing things out there.
So we'll see. I mean, who do you think is closer to seeing game action, Easley or Gronk?
Easley.
Really?
Yeah.
I would have said Gronk.
He's been doing contact
longer. I would have said
Gronk,
too, but...
He's been what?
He's been having contact in practice longer than Gronk has.
And I think he's had more significant contact in practice. Gronk's done 11-on-11. You don't really get touched.
Well, then to me, it seems like Easley's was more rapid. Like,
yes.
He got ready quicker, obviously, than Gronk.
Well, he's 4 months ahead or 3 months ahead or whatever. And...
Well, yeah.
I was a little bit surprised when Easley started on NFI after the last day of camp.
I was too.
But for a while, Easley was still doing the other stuff with the other guys. Well, Gronk, even though he wasn't doing 7-11s, he was with the team.
Right.
And Easley wasn't. And then kind of Easley leapfrogged him.
Seemingly. We're all sort of just observing.
Right.
Yeah, it's just my opinion.
Yeah.
But yes, I expect him soon. I think there's a chance you could see him in this game.
I even wonder if
Easley. That's like, I wasn't planning on it, and it's icing on the cake.
Well, but see, it goes both ways. I was totally planning on it at the end of minicamp when he got out there and was doing drills, just firing out boom, boom, boom in the bubble.
The last day.
And then when camp started for training camp, I was a little surprised that he's not out there. So I guess now maybe I would be positive surprised that he's going to be out there, even though originally I expected him out there.
Yeah, I wonder. I wonder if.
Is that the energy you want on Bob's Discount Furniture?
I wonder if maybe Easley's slow start to training camp was maybe more condition related than physical related.
Could be.
It's possible.
You know,
are you reporting that he failed the conditioning run?
Not at all.
Oh.
I started that sentence with saying, I wonder if. We know it was NFI because the injury was not suffered as
correct.
A Patriot, you know, as a professional. Mm. So. I don't know. It's a possibility that maybe he wasn't quite ready to start training camp from a conditioning standpoint. Maybe he didn't pass the run. Maybe he did pass the run, but just wasn't quite up to snuff. And they wanted to get him a little bit more work on the side and then, you know, get him going in terms of the contact. But I agree with Andy. I think if you go back to when he came back, when he came off NFI, it was a couple of days that, you know, the indoctrination period without pads and stuff like that. But then he seemed to do some one-on-one stuff against offensive linemen. And then all of a sudden, he was right out there in pass rushing, in 11-on-11 pass rushing. It seemed very quick. So I wonder if it was less to do with his physical, the knee itself, as it was with his overall conditioning level.
Okay.
Freddie, because that's an issue for a guy who's missed a year. I mean, he didn't play football for
You know, a bigger guy, too, you know, maybe.
And
you know,
a bigger guy in college. You know, if it were the bigger guy missing the year in the NFL, okay, you're still in Jim Whalen and Harold Nash's program. He was at Florida. You know, even though it's a high-level school, it's a different program, different, you know, maybe they washed their hands of him because they knew he was gone.
It's a proud day for me, Eric. Eric,
he agreed with you?
He didn't poo-poo me.
Yeah.
I figured he would go, nah, I'm not buying it. Mm. You know, one of those deals.
Yeah. See how that's warranted.
I'd also be surprised, Fred, if we don't see
neither
Aaron
do I when
Dobson
you do it
this week.
You'd be surprised if you don't see
we don't
Aaron
see him
Dobson.
At least for
oh see
plays
I go the other
or whatever
way. I thought I'd be kind of surprised
if you did see him.
Yeah.
I don't know where he stands.
Explain.
I just feel like he is still kind of coming along cautiously, and I still hearken back to the day he was out there and it taking deep balls from Joe Van Allen, I think, and I didn't do that on purpose.
But you can't help yourself.
You started it. You smirked when I said it.
I didn't, but I didn't go. I didn't like have to stop the whole segment.
No, but I did. And he was kind of absent for a while. Now he's back out there, and he's still been in that phase where the last time we saw him, he was running sprints back and forth across the field during certain segments, kind of like we saw Dennard slowly progress through and some of those other guys, Kelly. And
Eric, what do you see on Tuesday and Wednesday? Just stretching and stuff?
No, we actually saw more this week than we normally see in the regular season. We got about 25 minutes worth of viewing. So we got stretching was the first part of what we saw, and then the first set of individual slash position
yeah,
drills.
Yeah, but nothing.
No, you know, nothing team-wise.
Nothing getting to like 7-on-7
oh, no,
or
no,
anything
no.
like that.
No.
So I haven't really seen him do much of that against the defense, if any.
Right.
I'm not sure he's done any. So I would put him third on that list behind Easley and Gronk because he's out there, and I agree with Eric. He's been active and out there, but I haven't seen him do anything against the defense yet.
Another guy you could see in the fourth preseason game.
Yeah. Well, yeah. I kind of was basing that off of just what I'd seen in the last week in camp when he came back and was starting to do a little bit more. And also some of the comments yesterday from him and from Brady about needing game reps as opposed to practice reps.
Right.
And how much of a difference there is between the two and how much importance you place on the game reps when you're coming back from something like this. And he said, Dobson, that, you know, there is a big difference. I do need them. And Brady even said, you know, most of us, and I think when he's saying most of us, he means everybody, needs to have some game reps before they're really ready to you know, preseason game reps before they're ready to come back.
Everybody not named Deion Branch. Because
Bill said,
people keep throwing Deion Branches, like roll him out
it's
of bed
so
and he's
funny.
Ready to go.
So even if he only gets a quarter.
Yeah, I think there's a chance.
You know,
I think there's a chance.
A couple
that
series. Something.
Yep.
I think it would be good for him.
Something.
He does need it. That's why
we'll
I think he probably needs it more than the other two.
We'll be talking about the game tomorrow. A couple other things I want to throw out on the table. There was an NFL.com article today playing off a Boston Globe article about how the Patriots are transitioning from a 4-3 to a 3-4.
Are they?
Well, that's the question.
So, who wrote the article?
It's funny. I skimmed the NFL.com article and didn't say who in the Globe wrote it. So,
because I find that interesting. I mean, maybe they have a source. Maybe they know something. Certainly in the summer, they've been 3-4.
Ben Volen wrote a story that was in the sports section itself about being flexible on defense. I read the first couple of paragraphs and stopped. So I don't know if it necessarily said they are transitioning from 4-3 to 3-4.
Sure, yeah, seems like it.
The headline seemed to indicate what we've always said. They have the ability to do whatever they want because that's how they teach it.
They specifically said the word transitioning and, you know, talk more about Jones now being used as a linebacker.
Well, he's been used as both, first of
all.
Yeah,
but we've seen mostly in recent weeks.
Two and a half weeks-ish, I would say.
We've been seeing that.
The only problem I have with that whole theory is how long till the opener?
Right.
I don't know, like 2.5 weeks.
Right.
So for all we know.
Right.
They're doing all 4-3 stuff for the next 2.5 weeks, and that will be what they are doing leading into
the
opener.
And there'll be more game planning towards specific opponents.
Right.
You know?
Now, I won't be surprised if we see opening day in Miami a 3-4. I mean, they certainly have invested in it this summer. They certainly have invested not just team reps, but 7-on-7 reps with Jones and Buchanan and those guys getting dropping reps. We've seen enough of it. Paul says every time that he sees Chandler Jones like 10 yards down, I don't want to see that in a game. And, you know, sort of the old Sean Merriman thing.
I don't mind seeing him to the side as much as back. I don't want him like 15 yards back.
I just think it's a bit presumptuous by the Boston Globe or anybody to say they're transitioning.
The other thing I want to throw out there, and we talked about it a little bit, and I'm suspecting that this is why this topic has heated up because people listen to the show, is Tony Gonzalez. We've seen, after we talked about it, seemingly more people in the media have now been talking about Tony Gonzalez and whether or not he could come out of retirement. And
well, no, no, no. You're giving us more praise than we deserve, and I'm all for praising us and massaging ourselves. But Tony Gonzalez told Newsday, "I would be tempted."
When?
This is Tuesday.
Paul, this is Paul and Andy.
We talked about it.
No.
It was like 2 hours after we talked about it.
So you think Bob
Glover and Andy at our best?
You think Bob Glover heard our show and said, "I got to talk to Tony Gonzalez and see."
I think that someone,
he didn't even lead with that information.
Listen, I think
he
someone,
led with that fact that
and
he
if you read
the Broncos go undefeated.
I think someone listening to the show.
He thinks the Broncos could go undefeated?
Yes,
I think.
What
someone,
is he insane?
Who?
Bob Glover?
No, Gonzalez thinks the Broncos could go undefeated. Yet,
well, I just said he. I didn't say who I was.
Because the actual "I'm tempted" quote was like six paragraphs in after other stuff.
I think someone listening to the undefeated show went to Bob Glover and said,
I'd love to be on board with that. No. And I think Tony Gonzalez.
And I threw it out in the mailbag. Andy the next day took the quotes from Newsday and put a great blog post that I'm sure attracted a lot of attention. You know, Gonzalez coming to New England.
I actually changed the headline. Do you think I should have?
If you read
originally,
the quotes,
I was posting Gonzalez could be tight end option for Patriots. Then I changed it to could Gonzalez be tight end? Was that a good call? You think?
Either way works. I think it's about the same. Pretty.
The question mark.
I was
always
just a little
did you
concerned.
Change it to Anthony Gonzalez or Tony Gonzalez?
Well, actually, former Kansas City Chiefs and Atlanta Falcons tight All end
pro.
And Cal basketball player Tony Gonzalez. That gave us good SEO penetration.
Oh, good.
I had one of my. You
gotta love that SEO penetration.
Was changed. I had McCourty.
I don't know who SEO.
I had McCourty in my headline, and then
hot?
Went in and changed it
is
to
it
Devin
she?
McCourty.
All right. Anything else you guys want to throw out?
No,
the table?
Well, now we can expand. Once we're done patting ourselves on the back and breaking our arm, I don't think it's ridiculous.
You know, based on those quotes, I would say he doesn't. He's not coming back.
See, I think he is.
I don't.
I think he's 100% coming back. But I'm like all in that he's going to play this year.
And
I
don't
agree.
Know if it was you, Paul, talking about it with Felger, or you on. I can't keep track of all your radio shows now. But
he says as the proud papa.
One of you said, well,
either that or with other disdain.
One of you said that. Well, you know, if there's a setback with Gronkowski or for some reason he's not ready to go,
I said that yesterday.
I could. You know, it's a possibility. I think it's a possibility anyway.
I do too.
I think even with Gronkowski, you could use him.
I agree. 100%.
I read the quotes a little differently than Andy did.
You always do.
Because he said that he would be tempted, and then he got back and he said, but it wouldn't be the same to not go through the whole thing with the team from start to finish.
He'd do
and
it.
He's very comfortable, and I think there's less than 10% chance that he would come
yeah,
back.
Yeah, I think that the gig he's got going on now with, he's with CBS.
CBS,
now,
yeah.
That's probably paying him. Close
yeah,
to seven
does it pay
figures,
him in Super Bowl rings?
You know? Deion
does
Sanders
it pay
was
him in that
paid?
Buzz? Does it pay him in that adrenaline you
yeah,
get
see,
from
I don't
playing
care about
playoff
the job.
Game
if he was sitting at his
front of
house
a crowd.
Doing nothing and said the same thing he said yesterday, I would say that it has nothing to do with his money.
I think it does. I think just the money, but being busy. He's busy right now.
Yeah, but Deion's
got a lot more
enough.
Money playing.
He's not busy enough to turn down
right.
What he's going to get from being in January and February.
Did Deion Sanders
I
need the money
Andy on that.
When he was doing broadcasting and then he went to play for the Ravens?
Well, I think Deion Sanders is a different cat.
Yeah, but
I don't think Deion Sanders said that he's not coming back.
No, but
I think Deion Sanders would come back now if somebody asked. I really do.
I agree with you.
No, but I think the point is, I think one of you said it, the adrenaline rush that they get from
you can't
get that. They can't give that up.
Well, obviously the thing for Gonzalez is unfinished business.
Yeah,
if there was a chance to win it all.
Right.
That would be the lure. So you're talking about a handful of teams that could do it.
And I think
Patriots, Broncos, 49ers,
Seahawks, right.
Colts.
Right.
You got five, six,
guys, half a dozen teams
with
probably.
Established
Packers.
Quarter, you have an established quarterback.
Or another team that suddenly becomes a competitor.
I think he's less likely to do that. I think he's more likely to go Brady, Rodgers, Manning, Seattle now.
On a team that he thinks he's not going to last year's version of Kansas City.
Right.
No.
Now, Kansas City
what about
aside
Cincinnati?
Because
what about
of his
Cincinnati?
Connection there. But the
like
team,
if Cincinnati
I don't think he would go to Cincinnati. I don't think he would go to Cincinnati.
I don't think so. I actually think it's like,
I think
if I had to put a percentage, I think it's like 81% chance he plays, and I'll put it at 39% chance he plays for the Patriots.
All right, so let's put
you
something on it.
You think there's an 81% chance he plays with someone?
Yep.
Really?
Yep.
Wow.
All right, so another lunch?
I kind of agree
sure.
with
Sure, lunch.
Really?
Yeah.
Lunch.
Yeah, I don't either. I think that he's going to.
Who's always right on these? Remember Tiger
Not
Woods?
You.
Remember Lance Armstrong?
Not you.
I am always right.
Yeah. You and everybody else. I was the one holdout.
No, not me and everybody else. Me and Kirk Minahan. He's trying to steal my shtick.
Okay, the two of you were the only one that thought that Lance Armstrong was dirty.
Yep.
Okay,
yep.
That's why they tested him 50 times.
That's why everybody believed it and lived strong and donated and wore all these wristbands. Because everybody wanted to support a steroid user. That's why. Because they really doubted him. They thought he was a cheat.
Let's not get into all that. Ridiculous. Among the media, there was a lot of cynics of Lance Armstrong for a long time.
The clear, plastic bag?
Nope.
We should have them wear that when they're on the sideline, the cheerleaders.
The tan plastic
clear plastic
behind the bag.
Outfits. Yeah. All right.
Yes,
webradio at patriots.com, 508-298-0398 is the Ace Ticket Hotline. Anything else you want to expand upon?
$2.6 billion. Patriots up 44%, according to Forbes.
Yeah. And
good news to PFW.
And one of the things I've read is...
You got a 44% raise, right?
Salaries just keep going up.
Rising tide.
One of the things I've read about the inflation and the value of these teams...
Taking on water.
One of the reasons I've heard that teams' prices have become inflated is because of the Bills. I guess the Bills are... It looks like they're going to get a lot more than we thought.
I thought it was the other way. I thought they were underwhelmed by offers.
Maybe the amount of offers, but...
No, under a billion.
I read an article that the Bills situation is rising.
Who wrote the article?
It was
Forbes?
It was Forbes, yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Did you see the Bon Jovi ice bucket thing with Robert Kraft?
I didn't see it, no.
He did the ice bucket thing, and he had Robert and Chris Christie dump the water on him, and at the end...
Robert Kraft?
Yeah.
Where were they?
In New Jersey somewhere, at his house, I would assume. Bon Jovi's house.
Robert
when
Kraft,
you have
Chris
your own
Christie,
plane, you can be anywhere.
Robert Kraft and Chris Christie, the governor of New Jersey, dumped the ice water onto John Bon Jovi for his ice bucket challenge video. And then at the end, he called out his his bandmates in Bon Jovi, those three guys. And then at the end said, "Thank you, Buffalo." Which, we know he's trying to become an owner.
Right.
At least the reports are he's trying to become an owner.
The word in Buffalo is that the fans are convinced that if he buys it, Bon Jovi, he's going to move it.
Oh, yeah.
So they're against him.
He is not liked.
So he's reached out to Jim Kelly, actually.
Yes.
And Jim Kelly's like, I don't know if I want to be involved.
I saw Jim Kelly's wife posted something the other day saying anybody that would think for a second that Jim would be involved in an ownership group that didn't plan on keeping the Bills in Buffalo would be sorely mistaken.
Right. So I don't know if Bon Jovi's getting a bad rap or not,
I'm such a cynic.
He gives Bills a bad name.
Yeah. I got to think he would move the team too.
I got to think.
And you know what?
Anyone with a brain in their head.
I said
would.
He gives Bills a bad name.
I see what you did there.
Oh, I like it. I like it actually.
You know what I could see him thinking, and this is terrible. I'll get Jim Kelly on board because everybody will assume he would never let anybody move. And what's Jim Kelly going through?
Right.
And then when he dies, I can move him.
Actually, there was a story yesterday that
he's doing well.
There's no trace of it anymore.
Yeah. Not really.
Yeah, well,
he has a test today. And
yeah,
he says he's not out of the woods yet,
but it looks
he's not out of
the first.
Woods.
Right.
But anyway.
He's looking for the guy that he can use his name till he dies and then move the team.
But the other factor I think that's contributing to the rise in these valuations is the whole Clippers thing with Donald Sterling.
I think that's a bigger one.
Yeah.
Wait a minute. An NBA team's worth $2 billion?
Right.
They're not anywhere near the best league.
Right. So, but it's crazy. It's just crazy money. It's
$3.4 billion for the Cowboys, number one.
It's ridiculous money.
Well, it isn't. And now we're charging people to play the halftime show.
And then in terms of sports franchises, the Cowboys aren't even number one. These EPL teams are even, and Real Madrid are valued higher than the Cowboys.
Real Madrid.
Real.
I can't imagine that NFL Super Bowl halftime thing is going to stand.
Well, that's another thing. Yeah,
that's what I'm talking about, Fred.
I mean, I can't. How would any performer agree to do that?
But what I find
charging
is,
of course, you're talking about the NFL charging the performer that performs at halftime.
But it was what I heard the conditions were outrageous. Like a certain percentage of their performances after the fact. Is that what? I didn't read all that.
One of the first things I thought of there is, okay, if you're making me pay to perform, then now I want creative control.
Right. Yeah.
Because
I'll
in the past, the NFL, ever since Janet Jackson showed her booby, the NFL's been very strict about knowing the whole production, approving it, having them sign, a thing that they will adhere to it. But if I'm paying you now, hey, I got a little bit more control here than I would have otherwise.
But see, I can't imagine this is gonna last.
I think it will work. I think they're gonna
Who's gonna want to pay?
I think there are enough. It's the music industry is real tough now. I mean, it's it's hard to promote your music now. It's not like AM where, you know, you pay the station and they play your song twice an hour. It doesn't work. And that's how people find out about new music. It's really hard to promote your music these days. And, you know, there might be some record label that has the money that says, you know what, let's just use this as a platform for this artist.
But then aren't you going to get lesser halftime shows?
Yes.
Because you're going to get up-and-comers, not established acts.
Yeah, and that's...
Because you don't need to promote Katy Perry.
That's the downside.
You know, so they're not going to waste the money.
Yes, I heard somebody saying, like, somebody like a Bruce Springsteen would do it just so that he could say, no.
Plus, he just did it, five years ago?
I don't think an act of that size...
It's going to be an up-and-comer.
Like, playing the Super Bowl is that big a deal.
No, this is a marketing tool for a... They have to be established enough so you're willing to invest the money, but you think this can take them to superstar.
Right.
This is the launching pad.
Right.
And I don't see people really doing it. Yeah. And I don't think it leads to necessarily a good show, because now you have all these people are going to say, who the bleep was that? You know, all these, because it's such a diverse audience of old people, young people, black people, white people, you know, who the bleep is this guy?
Yeah, I think, though, that the halftime show, you know, gets a lot of play on social media, you know, during the Super Bowl. And I think that's part of the factor that the NFL's looking at now. It's not just people watching on TV. They watch on TV and then it goes viral, like within seconds. So we have to factor that exposure that we're giving these bands into this. You know, I think social media has told them we can charge and we'll get the money.
And
I don't know if they're right.
It also started on Twitter, the slippery slope idea of, well, how long till they charge beat writers to cover the game? Mm. They already charge their broadcast partners to cover the game. How long till they charge beat writers? So the publicity from this isn't always good. No, it's good for us. If they start
charging
people, we may be the only person in the press box.
Right? Well, we won't get charged?
No, we are the Patriots. Oh. Fred always says that.
Mike Felger continued to say that yesterday. A member of the Patriots organization. That's not true.
So it's an interesting topic, and it'll be really interesting to see who end up getting.
You know who I'd like to hear from on this? Mark Cuban.
Yeah.
This feels like it's going in the direction either NFL continues to dominate or hogs get fat, they get greedy, and they get slaughtered.
So what happens? What do you do? You're an NFL, you know, bigwig up in New York, Park Avenue, and you're getting close, and you don't have anybody. The people that you've talked to, you don't want in your halftime.
It's October, November.
Yeah, what do you do then? What do you do? Do you...
And you
not have a musical act and do something else during halftime?
No, you tuck your tail, say it was a bad idea, and let somebody perform.
Yeah, that's what you do.
I think they'll get somebody, but...
Well, they're already talking about, I don't know where these lines cross of the paying and not, but I've already heard that it's going to be Katy Perry, somebody, and somebody.
Well, those are the three people they've reached out to, evidently.
But Rihanna, are these people Katie they're
Perry
asking
and Coldplay.
To pay?
Yeah.
Oh, if I'm Katy Perry, I'd say stuff it. Stuff it in your pants, because I have no interest in paying you.
Now,
I'm pretty damn big.
To me, it reeks of one of those things that... Just because you can do it doesn't mean you should do it.
I agree. 1,000%. See, that's twice today. 1,000,000%.
I'm having a good day. Mm-hmm.
1,000,000% agree with that.
Yeah.
I think it'll probably work for them. I think somebody, and people are already talking, it'll be the record company will pay the fee.
And then
I guess the NFL they'll pay like the travel and production costs, which is probably like $1,000,000, you know, to put on one of those shows. So if you're, you know, maybe on the fringe of breaking, and your company believes in you, your record label believes in you, they pay the freight, you go, you blow up. It's a win-win.
Yeah,
I think it'll probably happen. But again, it doesn't mean it should happen.
If I'm the league, though, I think my Super Bowl event is the biggest event in the world, okay?
Right.
That's my own impression of it. So nothing less than a world-class act is suitable for my halftime. So I'm willing to just make it a quid pro quo in order to guarantee that I've got a U2 or I've got, you know, Madonna or the biggest acts in the world. I think anything less than that diminishes my event.
I agree.
You're cutting off their nose.
I absolutely agree.
Face. 1,000,000%.
You know? And I think those acts that they tossed about, each of them, I think, would do a fine job as a halftime show.
Me too.
And probably
they just don't need to pay
for it. No pay.
Yeah.
You know? Make it a quid pro quo.
Right.
And that's fine. I get the best acts in the world, and they get to be on, you know, my stage. If they end up getting lesser acts because of this, I think they're really hurting themselves.
Yeah. Yes.
I don't care for it. I agree.
Yeah.
I want Katy Perry.
You know? Maybe they could do stand-up comedians at halftime.
Yeah, that would be good.
You ever been to a concert where, like, the opening act is a stand-up comedian? Oh,
no.
My God. That is, like, a tough job.
Really?
Oh,
they
yeah.
They do that?
Yeah.
At a concert?
They used to do that a lot. Yeah, outdoor concerts.
You never did that, Eric?
No, I did not.
Never opened for a concert?
Not for a concert.
These guys, you know, because no one's there to see them, right? And so they just get heckled, and it's really hard.
And somebody must have realized that's a bad idea.
Yeah, they don't do that a lot anymore. Yeah. All right, webradio at patriots.com. I guess we should go to the phones, right?
Well, we missed a couple things out of Brady. He called James Devlin the best fullback in the National Football League.
Okay.
He did.
I know he did.
So it's Patriots news.
I just don't know what the experience he has with all the fullbacks to make that statement.
he watches a lot of football.
Well, he went from the worst fullback in football to the best. Last year he was second. Now he's first.
Okay. Yeah.
He's so funny.
Because there's only.
Yeah, how do you know? Thanks, how many Frank. Are there? Mike Tolbert?
Yeah, I was thinking there's probably about 10.
Mike Tolbert?
Would you say there's about 10?
Probably.
We also, I don't know if we, I forgot if we mentioned this on Tuesday or not, but the Adam Schefter reported the other day that they're considering expanding to 10 the number of players on the practice squad.
Oh, yeah, that happened.
Yeah, happened.
Yeah,
okay.
That went through.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. And they changed the rules, too.
Yeah, you can have 2 years of experience and still be on the practice squad.
Oh, for two players.
Yes.
Two players can do that.
So a designated practice squad.
So a guy like Josh Boyce, Joe Valano, there's some guys that,
down, then,
that could go
that
into.
The other day.
Yeah, that's potentially an important thing for like 2 weeks from now when they make the final cuts. There's some guys that look like they're on the way out that
right.
could potentially
be
practice squad.
So
I don't
two
like
guys, why do you think they
two
did
guys,
that?
Two of the 10 can
was
have more than 2 years
from the NFLPA?
Of practice
why
squad.
Do you think they
you
did
can
that?
Have up to 2 years of two accrued seasons and still
Be eligible.
Not 2 years on the practice squad, two accrued seasons.
Oh,
like
yeah.
Joe Valano played, he started like
12
games last year or so.
But is it still, you can still have an accrued season, but if you didn't play more than 8 games, you're eligible. If you played more than.
I think it's 9 games.
Yeah, but that's the old rules.
No, more than.
Right.
A guy could start
guys.
16 games for the first 2 years of his career
and
go on the
practice
squad.
Yeah.
Right.
Wow. That's different.
But my whole thing is philosophically, who do I want on my practice squad? Do I want fledgling bums like Jake Beckett? Sorry, Jake, didn't mean to. That came out a little harsher than I intended.
It was way harsher than it needed to be.
Or do I want young up-and-coming players who might evolve and develop into good players?
And there are always examples of guys.
Haven't you seen enough of guys by their third year that I don't really know I want to keep him around?
Right, but there are handfuls of example of guys that get sort of screwed by that rule. Like, and Belichick used to mention Matt Gutierrez. The year that Brady got hurt, Castle was the starting quarterback. Gutierrez was the backup for all 16 games. Did not appear in any of them.
Mm-hmm.
That counted as an accrued season. He was not eligible for the practice squad. Mm-hmm. And the next year, he got cut. And I remember Bill said that. You know, this sort of, but I don't think there were a lot of those.
Right.
That get an accrued season without really getting a chance to play. Like Joe Valano played all year last year. Josh Boyce, you know, he played in 9 games. He wouldn't have been eligible for the practice squad. Jake Beckett, you know, going on year 3 here, he's been on the team for 2 of those, hasn't had a chance to play. I think you kind of know what you got.
You need to see more of him on the practice field.
Right, you won't use that designation for him.
Yeah, I wouldn't.
You could.
So it'll be
you
interesting.
Could. You could.
Now,
but.
You in those 2 added spots do have that stipulation that you have a little bit of a change of rules. What I don't understand is why this year and next year. Just that's it. It's just those 2 years that they've done this alteration. It's not permanent going forward.
So it's,
I think they're gonna revisit it.
It'll stay.
But it's for 14 and 15.
It'll stay.
I'm not sure it's a great thing for players.
Baby steps
that.
Toward an 18-game schedule.
And the players probably
spots.
Just look at it as well. It's 2 more guys that stay in the league. But if I'm a guy like Josh Boyce,
like make a decision on me. Yeah.
Or you know, and I know you get cut. You know, you have to go through the waiver process. But I would just as soon be out there rather than be back on the practice squad.
But you're still out there.
Yeah.
And a team can still grab you and put them on
there.
Well,
you choose to go.
Yeah.
Yeah, you can choose to sign with somebody. You have some.
So it's an interesting little wrinkle that they've added. And a lot of Patriots are affected by it that wouldn't have been eligible for the practice squad. I think there's probably like a dozen. Yeah, Jarrell Worthy's
a guy. Worthy's one of them, which is interesting.
Yeah.
But he's a weird one. Do you think he'd sign with the practice squad? First of all, would he clear waivers as a second-round pick?
I don't know.
But he was a second-round pick who got traded for a conditional 7th.
Yeah.
So
my guess is he would clear waivers because.
And then is he going to sign to your practice squad? And you got to kind of convince a guy. Probably a little sales pitch there, and to, you know, sign, and we want to see more.
And maybe Bill says, "Listen, you know, it's not necessarily the practice squad. We need more time. You know, we want to see more time. Make sure you're healthy and stuff like
that."
Did
they in the language of the expansion? Did they say what the salary limits could be?
Salary stays the same.
Because like a guy like Worthy, who's used to getting second round pick money, is he now suddenly going to be dropped down to practice squad money?
Oh yeah. If you're on the practice squad, well, I mean, you can be paid anything. I believe the minimum this year is $6,700.
That's what I mean. There's no ceiling on it.
No. Right. Yeah. So I mean, I guess you could pay him $3 million.
So you could say to him, "We need you on the practice squad, but we'll still pay you."
They have to honor the contract that he originally had.
No,
right? They don't.
He is cut.
Oh, you
but you
cut.
Can pay him to more on the
in
practice
order to go to the practice
squad.
You have to be cut.
Oh, you have to get cut.
Yeah,
oh,
and you go through waivers.
And you go through waivers.
So when they re-sign
you to the practice squad,
but they could do so at the level you were getting paid.
I don't
they
believe
could.
There is a ceiling,
but
there is only
to.
A floor. There is, I believe, it's $6,700.
Yeah, you can pay anybody whatever you want to be on your practice squad,
but under the cap.
It's got to be under the cap.
And you
it
just
all
added two things to the cap, by the way. Minor $6,700 or whatever, but you added money to the cap.
All right, let's get to the phones. First up is Andrew in Buffalo. Hey, Andrew.
Hey, Fred. What's going on?
What's up, Andrew?
Not much. Yeah, just sitting here thinking, I heard y'all talking about Gronkowski and Dominic Easley. Are they being physically contacted in practice already?
It's starting now, yeah.
Yes.
Yep.
Ish.
So they are being hit, basically.
Well, easily, definitely. Gronkowski's catching passes with a defense.
I never saw him get hit.
I wouldn't say he got tackled or anything like that.
Even when they're in pads.
I thought that 11-on-11 he was on was a lower intensity 11-on-11.
He got stripped by my boy Malcolm Butler.
The tackling that they have in practice is not the same as the tackling you see in the game.
Because he stripped it out of his left hand.
They try not to knock guys to the ground anymore. They don't even wrap up and make a tackle. They just kind of put their arms around and just the play stops.
Yep.
Right. Okay. Yeah. I feel like the three things that's most important to win the Super Bowl is you got to have a defense. It's got to be better than average. It's got to be better than the middle of the pack. And offensive line got to be great because you're going to deal with a lot of great pass rushers that get into the playoffs. And the running game has to be good. It don't have to be great, but it has to be good. You know, or it could be great. You just have a quarterback that manages the game. And I feel like all three of those things, we're not very high on, only because we didn't buffer up our defensive line. I know we did some things in the secondary, but I'm worried about that defensive line getting pressured consistently. Cause
what if Easley's good?
I don't think coverage would, in the long run, your coverage going to break down no matter what. I know y'all said that the coverage will help the defensive line get there. But I'm kind of the other way around it. Like I feel like the defensive line has to help.
What if Wilfork and Kelly stay healthy and Easley is a decent player his first year?
Well, Easley would be
help.
Key.
I'm just saying.
The other two
my thing is, until I see it, I don't believe it. That's what I'm saying.
All right.
But let's see here. Oh, the offensive line. I don't think it's even average. Well, you know what? It is average. It's good, but it ain't great, and we see that in the playoffs. You know, these wards start coming up and they're not protecting him. We've been seeing it all through the season, actually, all the last year. And the running game is below average. I think it just stinks. I don't believe in Ridley, and Chamberlain can't stay healthy. I know we signed drafted White. I don't think he has good enough speed, and his size is an issue to me. So I want to know what your guys take on that.
Okay.
Thanks for taking my call.
All right, thanks, Andrew.
Those long, cloudy days in Buffalo have gotten to Andrew.
Hey, you know, he's been consistent. He has the same
concerns. No, and listen, I don't – just because guys have opinions that don't agree with us, you know, doesn't mean we dismiss him. I think he's a little negative on
– Wow.
Especially on the
Paul calling somebody negative.
It's unbelievable. Especially on the offensive side of things. Listen, I don't think they have a great running game, and I don't think they have a great offensive line. But don't tell me they don't have – a running game and an offensive line that's good enough to commit. Who did Seattle have in their offensive line last year?
Right.
They had all kinds of injuries with their tackles. They had all kinds of guys. You know, the kid from Malden, Giacomini. Mm-hmm. I think he went to the Jets in free agency.
Yep.
He's not a great right. I mean, there's no reason why you can't have a very good team if you just have an. He called it an average offensive line. That it's good but not great. That's good enough to win, don't you think? I mean, I have some concerns with the coaching change. I have some concerns with the coaching change, but I don't think the offensive line is going to prevent them from winning.
If you didn't think they were good last year, that was with the coach, Dante. I mean,
right.
Well, that's why he – but that's Andrew's point.
Right.
Andrew thinks that, they're not good enough. I think that that's not going to be the
– But they haven't been good enough since 07. They have failed ultimately at the end of the year. The offensive line has not been a strength since then.
Always someone else's fault, Freddie.
I don't know what that means.
The offense doesn't score enough points. It's always the other 10 guys.
So you don't think the offensive line struggled at times in season-ending games?
Of course I do. Okay. I do. And I think if the quarterback played like he did in the regular season in those games, we would say the offensive line was good enough.
Well,
it's all on Brady. He stinks.
I just think that the offense hasn't played well in the last game of the season.
Collectively.
I would agree
with
that.
I wouldn't put it on all on Brady. Absolutely not.
Goes to the sideline too, right?
Oh yeah, yeah. I think.
what?
<That's right. laughs> I think there's a lot of cases that.
So Josh McDaniels, I don't think he's doing a very good job.
I don't think he did a great job in the AFC Championship game last year. For sure, I think coming out trying to run LeGarrette Blount
in
into the line.
See there?
The beginning of the game, I don't think was a wise move.
For Billy O'Brien, too.
No, I was talking about last year.
I know. I'm talking about the culmination of failing to
win.
I didn't really have a problem with the
two Super Bowls. I didn't really have a problem with the game plans. I just think they didn't play well. Yeah. Did you?
By that, you mean him.
12. No, the offense.
You seem to put it a lot on 12.
The offense. I don't think the defense did its job either. I mean, as bad as the offense played
in those
games.
They're lucky to be there because they stunk in all phases of the game.
No,
coaching, offense,
that,
defense.
He means that day.
Exactly. It's like unbelievable how he puts words in
your
mouth.
Yeah.
Okay. See, this is what he normally does.
You can align with their compliments.
You
two
can
continue to break down the Patriots. Gronk shouldn't play. They've never been good at anything. You two got a nice
They've
little
never been good.
Show.
That's what I said, Fred. They've never been good at anything.
I don't
That's
understand
exactly
why that
what I said.
Angers you so much.
I don't know. It just bothers me. I wouldn't say bothers me. I just like
it does bother you.
Not really. I just mock it.
No, he's like a 12-year-old girl, and he has to cackle when he thinks of something that's silly.
No, I think, you know, you mock what you don't understand.
Oh, boy.
I didn't understand it.
You mock a lot.
All right, let's get to the next caller. Justin's in Virginia. Hey, Justin.
Hey, you guys. First off, I want to say that last guy, Andrew, I am so strongly aligned with him. It's not funny.
Okay.
Second off, I want to say, like...
You're like-minded?
Yeah, I'm very like-minded. But I want to say I appreciate you guys for giving your honest opinions and, like, giving your honest opinions of other people's honest opinions. And for my real point, I want
to say deep.
I like Stephen Ridley and everything, and I think he's a cool dude. But I think he's really more trouble than he's worth with his running game thing. Because he fumbles horrifically, and, like, he seems more bad than what the stats would show with his fumbles.
And I agree with that.
I'd rather have a decent running game than one that's good that fumbles a lot. I'd rather just throw James White out there because in college he had.
Oh, you want LeGarrette? You want Ben Jarvis Green Ellis? Is what you want?
Or LeGarrette Blount?
That's really what I want.
Pre-Blount.
That is what
I Blount fumbled too.
Blount had ball security issues. You're right.
I see what you did
but
there.
He didn't look as bad as Ridley though. Like we talk about the eye test.
Also more productive.
Well, that's the difference.
Like, he doesn't look bad as Ridley.
That's because for a short stint he was more productive. He was making big plays and carrying your offense. I don't know that Stephen Ridley has ever carried this offense. He had 1,200 yards. I don't think he carried the offense really. He's had good games, been productive, but he has never been the guy carrying it.
Yeah, 1,200 yards because of the offense.
Right. Were there? I mean, down the stretch last year, LeGarrette Blount was your offense.
Right.
Right?
And those rain games, he was the guy. Yep.
And when you think about it, how many other starting running backs in this league are worse than Stephen Ridley?
Probably about 7.
I'd have to, you know, see all the different depth charts to know all the different starting running backs, but I'm sure that he's in the middle of the pack.
Yeah.
It was just 2 years ago that he was like second in the AFC in rushing, right?
The bottom line with
Ridley
is...
Well, yeah, but to me, when you play with Tom Brady and Rob Gronkowski in this offense, you should be pretty high up the rushing.
No, I know, but...
If you get the carries, you should be productive.
But he was second in the AFC, and I put him in the middle of the pack, not last.
Stopping Tom Brady.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. And even with the biggest distraction standing next to him, Ridley still can't, like... He still can't...
Well...
not fumble.
The bottom line with Ridley is he's not good enough to put up with the fumbles.
Exactly.
That's it.
But the other bottom line is you don't have an option right now, in my opinion.
Blunt,
you don't have an option.
You know, Blunt last year, Fred, you're right. He had ball security issues too, but the difference is the big plays that he provided. Ridley, and I said this to Andy.
Ridley only have like one?
555 career carries, 2 carries of better than 30 yards. 2. And 555 attempts. That's not enough.
That's insane.
And I think now with the ball security on his mind, there's even less hope that that's going to change because I think it really does affect his running style. And
I don't even know about on his mind. The ball security isn't going to change because he's 8 years into ball security problems
and
in his career.
And he had ball security issues in college. It's just I don't think he's terrible. I think he's a middle-of-the-pack running back who the fumbling problem is definitely affecting how we think of him. But he also just does not provide the bang for the buck.
I see the potential, but it just keeps getting...
I don't.
I just keep getting whacked over the head with his fumbles.
Like
that's
what most people think.
Yeah.
And I
you don't
I
like
take
him
it,
anyway.
I don't think
if he didn't fumble.
I think if he didn't fumble
at
all...
anything.
No, I think if he didn't fumble at all, he'd still be an average run-of-the-mill, middle-of-the-pack running back.
I think by now he would have been...
He'd be better if he didn't fumble?
Yeah.
I'm just going off of what he's done.
No. I think if he didn't have this fumbling problem, he would have progressed to the point now where he'd be one of the
okay,
better backs in the league.
See, that's a fair argument. The fumbling is preventing him. I don't think that's the case.
I see the talent in him.
I agree with what I said last year in the preseason. I think what's preventing him from being great is what Paul said.
He agrees with himself.
Yes.
Yes. For those of you recapping at home, Andy's patting himself on the back.
I mean, to me, okay, he's fine. You know, but within 10 yards, he'll give you a little something. But
he runs hard.
How many times am I going to say, to me, you need to break some big plays. That's how you get chunk yards and turn that 110-yard game into 180. You turn that 1,200-yard season into 15.
There's only one area of his game that I think he is really good at, and that's goal line. That's a very important one, especially in this offense.
It's also the most ironic area of his game.
Right.
Especially
the guy who can't hold on to the ball. He's good on the goal line. So, well, do I put him in on the goal line, or am I afraid to lose the ball? Like,
right. Especially in this offense, it's important that they're able to run the ball in from inside the five. And I think they do a great job of consistently scoring on the ground. And he does, I mean, he's double-digit touchdowns,
oh,
right?
Yeah. It's like 20-something touchdowns.
You know, so that's a big part of his game, but I'm 1,000% in agreement with Andy. I don't see the dynamic element that I thought we were going to get. I loved him coming out of college. Another one you can make fun of me about, Andy. I thought he was going to be a really productive guy in terms of big plays, especially, you know, in this offense with the spread and all the Brady throwing. He was going to get opportunities to pop, you know, all of a sudden he's breaking into the secondary untouched, and now he's making a safety miss and he's off to the races. He's not that guy. He gets run down, and he's not all that shifty.
But you don't have an option.
Now, Fred, you think it's because he's worried too much about the ball security, and that's preventing him from doing that. You might be right.
But what's the evidence of that?
I've seen from the day he started his running style change.
How?
It's got the two hands crossed over his chest with the ball even before he's hitting contact.
See, I haven't really seen that.
I haven't either.
I have.
Because I still see him breaking tackles.
I look at him.
I think he's a hard guy to tackle.
Oh, yeah. I look at him and I say, how can you...
But I still think he flails the ball at times out wide with his little...
Well, yeah, he does. And,
so...
Yeah. All right. Let's go to the next call. We've got a lot of calls
coming
in.
Wow, there was a lot of calls.
A lot of calls coming in. Dave in Connecticut. Hey, Dave.
Hey, what's going on, guys?
You know Dave.
Time caller, long-time listener.
Oh, no, I don't know Dave.
Is this a good connection?
Yes.
Sounds great. Sorry, Paul, shut up in a minute.
Okay, all right. Well, first of all, you know, big fan of you guys. Andy and Paul did great on the second, you know, preseason game covering the Eagles on TV. That was really nice.
Thanks.
Thank you very much.
I was wondering, do you think, based on what you guys are seeing and everything, that it seemed like Bill Belichick was almost waiting in some ways to go back to a 3-4 in terms of, like, getting more skilled plays, like waiting for like an easily, waiting to develop more guys and making sure like, okay, lock in Will Fork, make sure, you know, people are like ready to go like Mayo and Hightower and say, okay, now we can switch back to a 3-4. We have some skilled plays. We have a little bit of depth and we're ready to go with something that he feels maybe more comfortable with.
Yeah, I don't know. It's a good question. And you could say that, you know, a lot of good coaches, smart coaches, don't try to fit a round peg in a square hole, you know, meaning you don't try to make personnel do things that they can't. So that lends you to think that Belichick looks at his personnel and says, you know, we can do a 3-4 with these guys. Hightower and Collins and Mayo and Jones specifically. Those four guys, I can mix and match into a 3-4, so let's do it.
And we know 3-4 is what he's always done. Yeah. He clearly believes in the 3-4. But the one flaw with the theory is easily doesn't fit a 3-4. The prototypical Bill Belichick 3-4 easily is not a fit. And I still am intrigued to see how that's going to work with some of those guys playing end that aren't the Richard Seymour, Ty Warren traditional 3-4
guys. Well, but
maybe
the traditional 3-4 has now morphed a little bit where you needed the bigger bodies up front because the running game was important. And now the running game's not so important, so a 3-4 doesn't have to look the same way.
No question, but then it's not the same 3-4 that he was playing.
Yeah.
I'm intrigued to see if they go 3-4, if it's a new type of 3-4 because of what you just said.
Yeah.
And I wonder if what we talked about earlier, maybe they go week to week with what they're playing.
Oh, and I'm sure they will.
They will. You know?
Absolutely.
They come out week one in Miami, let's say, in a 4-3. The next week, it's 3-4.
Yeah.
They play 3-4 for a couple of weeks, then they go back
to
it, depending on who they're playing.
They're not going to play the Jets the same way they play a lot of other teams, for example.
And I also think that it can change every week, but I still wonder about the outs because you said like with Hightower and Mayo and Collins and Jones in mind. Well, where's Ninkovich?
Well, I think
because I think it puts somebody on the bench,
well,
and
it's
I think
been
it's
Jones.
Probably it was Jones early, and then it was Hightower, but then Mayo was out, so you don't know exactly where Hightower
fits. It certainly looks like they are trying to monitor his reps with what we saw in the summer, Jones, and that he was seeing time at outside linebacker, seeing some time at end, some time on the sideline.
Well, he can't do any more reps than he did last year.
That's for sure. Could do a few.
All right, thanks for the call, Dave. New Dave from Connecticut.
Yeah, an interesting
new callers always welcome. Chris with a TIAN on the line. Hey, Christian.
Hey, guys. Paul, it was good hearing you yesterday on Felder. You did a pretty good job. It was nice to have you on there.
Pretty good. Thanks.
Yeah.
Pretty
adequate good. At best.
C plus. Yes. Thanks.
4 hours of Paul and Felder.
EI, I can tell you that.
What's that?
Was better than Andy on EI.
Oh, screw you. Get this guy off the line. He's a joke.
I was looking
well,
to do
it's
a little
kind
better.
Of true, Andy.
I was
Your
looking
mother.
To do a little better
I think
better
the
than
chemistry that.
That
Paul has with Felger is...
He's worked with him. They were 18 together.
Whatever.
He's one of the original.
Whatever the reason behind. Is...
That's not fair. You see what I'm working with on EI?
It doesn't matter what the reason is. He's got good chemistry with Felger. What can I say? It doesn't matter why.
Thank you, Christian. I had a
You're
lot
welcome,
of fun.
Paul. Now that we get past the screaming.
It's not fair.
I did have
it's
a question.
Like blaming Brady for Dobson.
Are you Dobson or Brady in that scenario?
No, but with you guys, it's like Brady and Moss 2007. I'm Brady.
Exactly.
I'm Brady and Dobson.
Oh, wow.
Wow, that's three compliments
W-E-I
in one show.
Check.
I was just focusing on the Brady and Moss comparison for me.
Well, you're Brady because you suck.
Only in big games.
All right, sorry, Christian. Go ahead.
Wow, stepping
that's
all over.
Okay. I was calling about the Volan article, and my question is, you know, when we were playing 3-4, you had Samuel and Law, right?
Yep.
And now you got Revis. And when you switched to a 4-3, you had, like, no safety, and you really didn't know who was playing your cornerback spot. So does Bill see it as, all right, now I have Revis, you know, now I can do more with my front seven. And
could
I
be.
Can get creative, and I can do that. You think that's a
possible
a thought?
Yeah.
You know?
Everything is on the table with this defense right now and what Bill is going to do with it.
Yeah.
I definitely think
he probably looks at I can do more in terms of the stunting, which we've seen, like Andy's been talking about for a while now. We saw a little bit last year with some of the things they did up front. I think you're going to see some more of that stuff because I think there'll be more confidence in the back end.
Yeah,
so hopefully that leads to a lot of pressure up front that we haven't had in quite some time and can get off the field on these third downs. So that's all I had, guys.
All right. That's Christian.
Yeah, with that 3-4 stuff, too, I'm also not going to get too wrapped up in it because they're going to be in it so little. What's the matter?
We forgot to order food again.
Yeah, yeah. We got food coming.
Oh, we do?
Well,
no.
What do you mean by we?
Oh.
Although.
Paul and Andy.
I'm not so sure we got it coming at this point. It's 1 o'clock.
Why? Who was bringing food?
Our TV people.
Oh.
You're so not part of the broadcast.
The network. We got the network.
Well. You're not either, if I say so.
I knew you were going to say something like that.
Let's go to Eldridge in North Carolina. Hey, Eldridge.
Hey, folks. How y'all doing?
Good.
Hey,
better connection now, so you want to hang up on me? It still sound better now?
Yes, you sound good.
Much better.
Okay. My question is about the defense also. I didn't get to see the game because while I was at, saw a little bit on NFL Network. And y'all kept talking about speed on defense. But I agree with you, Paul. Eagles made them look slow.
I said that?
Yeah, you tweeted that. You tweeted it.
I didn't tweet that.
On the blog, why you?
I said the Eagles made the Patriots look slow. I never tweeted that. Must have been somebody else. You have me confused with somebody else. I never tweeted that.
Okay. Well, anyway, my question is this: where's speed coming from? Because if they go with Hightower and Jones, the linebackers, you know, as far as covering receivers or backs, I don't see that happening. And well, Revis didn't play this season, correct?
Revis played the first couple of series with the rest of the starters.
Against Philly, yeah.
Against Philadelphia. The starters only played, I believe, the first two series. There was like a total of five plays, maybe eight plays.
Yeah, okay. I mean, they're gonna try to avoid Hightower in those matchups as much as possible. In a clear passing situation, I think he comes off the field, right? Hightower?
Yeah, I don't think he's going to be on the field all that often,
to be
honest with you. Mm. Especially if they go with this 3-4 stuff.
Yeah. So who would take his place if he come on?
Well, now you have another safety or a corner comes in.
Well, that's sub-packages.
Yeah,
but
they talking about the base.
If they play a 3-4, I think it could be
Mayo and Collins in the middle.
Kelly, Will Fork, and maybe a guy like Chris Jones.
Or Villano.
Someone like that. Another lineman. With Ninkovich and Jones outside
Chandler
and
Jones.
Collins
right.
and Mayo inside. I think there's a possibility of that if they're going to use that as their base. Now, Hightower will play, but I'm not sure. They're not going to have him out there to get exposed as much as they can.
I'd rather have him on coverage. The bench more often than Chandler Jones.
I agree.
The part that I saw was Sanchez.
Yeah, again, that's the backups.
But I know Sanchez is a pro. But we had the guys in the secondary that might be a starter on the other side with Revis or in the sub-packages get twitched like usual.
I don't think you had a lot of those players in the game at that time, but there were some. You know, Chung was out there, and he might be a guy that plays. I think Logan Ryan was in there a little bit, but you didn't have Revis, you didn't have Browner, you didn't have Dennard, you didn't have McCourty. Those guys were out by the time Sanchez was playing.
Okay, I'm going to let you go after this, but I think Kine should be on 53-man roster starting receiver somewhere.
He won't be able to play.
He's not going
to
start the season there because
he's
suspended.
Suspension for four games.
For Adderall.
All right. Thanks, Eldridge.
He knew he was beaten.
It wouldn't be an Eldridge call without a wide receiver.
Or without a mispronounced wide receiver.
Oh, that wasn't nice.
What? He called him times.
All right. Let's go to the emails at webradio@patriots.com. David from L.A., have you guys heard or talked about Blunt and his potential marijuana charge with Le'Veon Bell? I'm starting to think the Patriots do a great job putting the players in their place while with the franchise, and once they leave, they act up. Well, we know that's true. A couple months ago, I emailed you to celebrate my good news of becoming a dad. I wanted also to share that I'm having a son.
Nice.
Now I will be able to share my love of the game with him.
Awesome.
So that's great. Dave from L.A., good job.
Awesome, Dave.
You got the job done.
Yeah, Blunt evidently was with Bell, and it seems like Bell is in a little bit more trouble than
Blunt. He was driving.
Because he was driving, and Blunt actually accompanied the team to the game. Bell didn't, but I guess paid his own way to get there or something. I don't know.
Yeah.
There was also a lady in the car.
Ooh.
I didn't know you were with your lady friend.
Mary Jane.
Can't talk right now.
Good girl in my lap.
Nick from Illinois.
Christian's laughing at that somewhere.
Andy is totally right about the no fun league. Are you kidding me about the no dunking rule? Watching the two guys come out with a rope to readjust the goalpost was the best part of the game. On another note, any truth to the rumor that Eric thinks Revis is so important that he should just sit the season? There is truth to that.
The preseason.
Thanks, guys. Keep up the good work. Loving the new consistently angrier Paul. And the addition of Andy and Paul to the post-game show means I can actually listen to it now.
Nice.
Fred, congratulations on that, by the way.
What's that?
Introducing everybody to the newer, angrier Paul.
Right. Dan in Virginia thinks we should trade Mallet to CBS for Gonzalez.
CBS wouldn't even make that trade.
I got a couple tweets, and I agree with this. Mallett is not, in my opinion, I don't want to speak for you guys, is not as douchey as he comes off at times.
I don't think so. I mean, someone asked me that question on the radio yesterday, and I said I've never had a problem talking
about
Ryan.
But he definitely
Mallett.
Comes off as douchey in like press conferences and stuff.
I just think he's not very eloquent in some of his answers, and that might be why he comes off that way.
Just to answer, I've gotten specific questions. At least two people said, is he as douchey as he seems? And I said, no. And I just want to spread that. He's not as douchey as he seems. He's a pretty good guy.
It's funny that you said that, because that came up yesterday, and I had mentioned I didn't like the way he came off after the Washington game. You know, he played poorly, and everybody saw it. Everybody knew it. And he was talking about the penalties, and I'll have to watch the film and all this. And it was like, all right, I'm looking for a little accountability here. I didn't play well. Mm. But I agree. For the most part, I don't find him to be a troublesome guy. Sometimes can be a little defensive, I think, when you talk to him. And I remember last year in the preseason, I asked him a question about a pass that he missed, that it looked like there was a miscommunication. I was trying to figure out who it was. Tavareen, I remember it. And instead of just sort of either blowing off the answer if he didn't want to tell me or answering it, he sort of disputed the fact that...
He took issue with your premise.
Like I said that there was like a fade to the running back, and he's like, we don't throw fades to running backs. I'm like, well, you had him out wide. On that play, he was actually a wide receiver. And then he goes, oh, that... It was almost like Brady. Oh, that one. And he immediately knew what I was talking about then. But he wasn't... Like, I agree with Andy. He's not douchey. He just was a little... I thought a little defensive, but... He certainly needs to work on the way that comes across, because that's the way it's perceived from the general public, because a lot of people have said that.
Paul calls himself the football philosopher, and he says a few thoughts on Paul and Andy's role in the preseason games. I have to be honest, I wasn't too keen on it until this past week. No fault of yours. The commentary is terrific, although Paul does have a tendency to stare off into the bottom corner of my screen. But they say that
only happened once.
But they say that form dominates content, and the format really works against you guys. It's kind of like when the Republicans give their response to the President's State of the Union speech. He's on the floor of the Senate with all the pomp and circumstance, surrounded by generals and justices, and then they pan to two Republicans skulking in some half-lit Senate office with an American flag hastily tacked up on the wall behind them. Whatever they say immediately loses credibility. You guys are in the same boat, except instead of the flag, you've got two Bob's discount posters up on the wall. It doesn't inspire confidence. Anyhow, I thought your flow and energy was really good in the Eagles game, and they kept your voiceovers going when they panned back to the game, which was great. The main complaint I have at this point is that they have your mic volume's lower than the regular announcers, so when they come to you, I have to fumble and find the remote. And by the time I get the volume up, they've moved on. Can they amp you guys up a bit?
Sure.
Also, any thoughts of wearing suits rather than the khakis and polos?
No.
Second person that has brought that up to us.
No.
But that's not what they want.
Not what I want.
You want khakis and polos.
I would go with shorts and a t-shirt, but I always go for comfort.
You do.
I don't feel like we're on enough to worry about, you know, being in a shirt and tie.
Right.
All right.
Plus, it's not who we are.
I mean, there's a lot of times that we're talking that we're not even shown. So right. I don't really.
But we can ask if audio needs to be checked. I mean, that's the first
audio
complaint
levels.
I've heard of that.
Right.
I didn't notice that when I was watching on my DVR.
You watched us?
I watched the first one.
Oh, nice.
I didn't watch the second one. So maybe there was an issue this week. I didn't see it. I hadn't seen it.
Chris from Hingham writes in, I'm a big fan of the show and try to give some input every now and then. I have two questions for you. One, what is the most likely scenario for Gronk in the next couple weeks? One, he gets significant time tomorrow against the Panthers, sits out fourth game, and then returns for week one. Two, he sits out tomorrow, plays some amount of time in the fourth preseason, is ready to return for week one. Or three, he sits out both the last two preseason games and is not ready for the start of week one.
I would say fourth. There should be a fourth option there. Yeah. Sits out the next two and is ready for week one.
Yeah. So which plays a little and then is ready for week one.
So which do you think will happen? Plays a little in week four was one of his options.
But I also think he can play a little tomorrow.
It's either A or B.
I think it's tomorrow.
I don't think he's going to play significant action anytime.
Yeah.
But in his scenario, I'd go with tomorrow's action.
Question two.
The one problem in the fourth one is if Brady doesn't play.
Yeah.
Do I want Mallett hanging him out to dry?
Exactly.
Or, you know.
Question two, do you think that Josh Boyce is less valuable to the team this season than guys like Roy Finch, Brandon Bolden, and Jake Beckett? I think Boyce has shown the ability to make plays in the limited reps that he's gotten.
Really?
win. One of the biggest concerns is that he's dropped
the ball.
I want
to embrace that comment, but I can't.
Then we might as well cut Dobson right now. Dobson's injury problems in the past year have already been a nightmare, and he drops plenty of passes when he's on the field. Boyce has better straight-line speed than most receivers currently on the roster.
Does he?
His speed may not be elite, but it's enough to make him a possible deep threat. He's also shifty when he gets the ball on screens, slants. I think he's still a worth a roster spot.
I'm totally opposed to that whole email.
Okay.
Dobson hasn't made that many plays, but he's made more plays than Boyce.
And Boyce had his injuries last year.
Yeah.
So they both have dealt with injuries.
All three of those guys
have
dealt with injuries. I don't see Boyce as being, right now, worthy of a roster spot. But
I would put him in my roster. I have Finch over him, but
I wouldn't have either one of those. You have Finch on your roster?
Yeah.
I wouldn't have either one of those.
Who are the other two? Beckett and somebody else he had listed? Oh, Bolden. I don't have much use for either of those guys either.
Let's see. Micah writes
in. And he just wants to cut everybody except for Finch.
Micah writes in from Eugene, Oregon. And before you ask, Micah is a guy's name. I have listened
Micah
for
Moon.
A few years, but this is only my second time writing in. The first time I wrote in was on my favorite episode where someone had sent you a bottle of Dave's Insanity Hot Sauce. That was awesome.
That was a long time ago, no?
That was bad news sauce.
I don't even remember.
I don't remember
that. Stuff, you put a little thing on the tip of your tongue and it was just like fire.
Oh, I kind of do
remember that.
I remember
it. I didn't do it.
We had it in the fridge here for a while.
Yeah.
John Rook wanted to drink
it. Yeah.
I did it.
Okay, it's coming. I didn't partake.
Anyway, I've been listening through the preseason, and a few questions have been lingering in the back of my mind.
No, I mean, it was
one. Way back when Brady was a backup quarterback, how did he look in preseason games?
Terrible.
In 01, he lit it up. Absolutely lit it up. In 2000, he wasn't ready.
Were there any clues that he was going to be great, or did he just look like another rookie six-rounder? Did he look more like a number 15 or a number 10?
Mallett or Garoppolo?
I would say closer to number 10. In that, if you remember what Belichick talked about his rookie year, it wasn't necessarily about all the throws he was making. It was about how he grabbed hold of the rookie minicamp. He clearly established himself as a leader of that group, and they really liked that. They liked the way he immediately grasped the offense and the leadership role that you need in that position. Now, he wasn't physically ready in 2000. In 2001, his training camp, to use Mike Mayock's, Andy?
Popped.
And everybody saw it. Now, we didn't really think as much about it at the time until Bill told us heading into week one that he had passed Damon Heward as the backup quarterback. But there was no question in watching that Brady had made monumental leaps from year one
to
year two.
Was that why he said, or if he did say, why he kept four quarterbacks that first year? Was
one of
what
the things
he
really
spring?
Liked was what he did in the spring, yes. And he didn't really do a whole lot physically. And you can go back and look at the it must be the 2001 Three Games to Glory. I don't know if it's from his rookie year or from his second year when Brady's going into the games and Bledsoe's asking him what he wants because Bledsoe's got the headsets on. He's helping Charlie.
What do we like?
You know, I like sticks.
Yeah.
And he goes, oh, you know, you like to throw the ball all over the place. So you get your name on you get up on the big screen or something like that. And he's telling.
Yeah.
That's sort of how he was going into the game as like this.
There's another thing on Three Games
guy.
To Glory where Brady comes into a game and I think it's Pete Brock is doing some color, and he says, "Well, you know, Brady's done pretty well." I don't know who it was. It sounded like Pete Brock, but Brady's done pretty well in the off season. Let's see if he can do it, you know, when it counts. And he comes in for Bledsoe. Was Brock doing the color that game?
I don't know.
Yeah,
you could be right. I don't remember.
Sounded like it.
Could be right. Yeah. And I do remember, I want to say a game. Do you have that media guide with you? I want to say one of the preseason games that year was in Carolina. And I'm not positive on that. I think he threw a couple of touchdowns. And that was a game that Bledsoe struggled in the preseason. And, you know, he came in and, you know, it was against backups like it always is. But that's when people said, whoa, you know, this kid might be a threat.
Tim Fox and Brock, weren't they part of the preseason broadcasts in the day?
I don't know. I forget. Two, I hear the term game plan a lot throughout the year. What does that mean exactly? Is it just a matter of what kind of plays they call? Is it certain matchups they like to try and take advantage of? How does having a game plan differ from preseason where there is no game plan? What kind of things go into a game plan? Well, that's a big question.
Everything.
Yeah. But, you know, it's your strategy of how you're going to attack your opponent or defend against their attack.
But it's also scouting them, their tendencies, how your tendencies match up with their tendencies, mm-hmm. going against yeah. tendencies.
Yep.
I mean, it's the whole matchups,
right.
individual players, everything.
Why right. a certain player starts against a certain team but not against another team. That's part
it's
of the
plan.
Game
of attack.
Yeah. Yep.
It's the way you're going to go about doing business against this team because of your own strengths, because of their weaknesses, because of their tendencies, all that.
Mm. And, you know, it changes dramatically for preseason because you don't care who wins.
Especially, you know, Brady talked about that yesterday. They did nothing. They figured that 3 days of practice was their game planning, was their scouting. They, you know, you'd learn the people. And then he said this week they've gone to actual game planning, scouting meetings, scouting report meetings, and all of that.
Third and final question. Speaking of preseason games, we know they don't count, but they do matter. That said, how much does Belichick want to win preseason games? Is there an advantage to losing a preseason game to see how the newbies react to a loss? I don't think there's any advantage to losing.
No.
No.
I don't think there's any advantage to winning either. Other than if you're a really, really bad team, you just sort of want to establish some
Feel
level
good.
Of culture. But
or if you, in the case of Garoppolo, you have a rookie who did well or, you know, maybe I mean, led the team to a comeback or something.
But then. Just as a point of comparison here, 2003, 4-0. 2004, 1-3. You know, 2-2, 2-2, 2-2, 0-4, 3-1, 2-2, 2-2, 1-3, 3-1. I mean, those are all somewhere in the neighborhood of 11 to 14 win teams.
I was going to say, the most consistent regular season team in football has been very inconsistent in the preseason.
So I don't really think it matters, no. Well, especially if you're a team that's established.
Brady did Patriots. Bring it up. We've laid some stinkers in the third preseason game. It'd be nice to have a good one.
Yeah, and I
Although
mentioned
I am
that.
Still waiting for that 23-0 season.
And I'll
so you'll turn down the 19-0 because we're not quite where I want to be.
I'll give you, Andy, just for your point. Last year at Detroit, 40-9, they lost.
Mm-hmm.
The year before at Tampa Bay, they lost 30-28. Now that one wasn't as bad because I think the starters played well, and the backups
did.
Coughed it up late. 2011
year,
at Detroit, 34-10.
Yep.
2010, St. Louis, they lost 36-35.
When your boy carved him up,
you know. Bradford. So that's the. I'm just reading off the third preseason game. So they have not played very well in that game, and that is the only one that has any semblance of significance. And even that, to me, has
well,
none.
We had one here a few years ago against Carolina again, and they played terribly. The Patriots did, especially the offense. Remember that?
The Carolina preseason game.
I think so. Yeah, it was like 2 or 3 years ago.
07.
Maybe it was Jackson.
07 was the at Carolina when we knew in the first quarter.
Oh, yeah. No, that's correct.
Yeah.
That was the game. The third preseason game when they ran the ball like 14 times in a row. That's when some knew that they were going undefeated. Andy and I didn't really make the call until week two. So we were behind the curve.
All right. It's 1:13. We haven't taken a break. We're going to do that
do
right
it.
Now. When we come back, more of your calls and emails. We're here till 2 o'clock.
We're NRG, and we're a new kind of energy company, one that's hard at work making the most of renewable sources of energy, one whose solar energy is helping power football stadiums across the country, one that's developing new technologies that can one day turn your home into its own source of power and put you in charge of how you use it. We're putting that power into your hands. NRG, the power to change life.
Before Jenny met her new nephew, Wyatt, before she drove to New York, and before she picked up a Boston Red Sox onesie down the street from her Alston studio, Jenny got 1% back on tires, 2% back on snacks, and 3% back on gas using her Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. So Jenny got ready to do what she loved with cash rewards she liked. That's the power of the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. That's Bank of America. Life's better when we're connected. With the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card, you can earn 1% cash back on all purchases all the time. 2% cash back on groceries and 3% cash back on gas. Apply today at bankofamerica.com/getcashback. Grocery and gas bonus rewards apply to 1,500 in combined purchases each quarter. Call 1-888-224-8735 for details about credit costs and terms. Copyright 2013 Bank of America Corporation.
Ask the rest of the country what comes to mind when they think of New England. The answer isn't Paul Revere or Tri-Corner Hats. maple syrup, or Walden Woods. They now think of dominance. The success of the sleeveless hoodie. Three Super Bowl championships. AFC East champions 10 out of the past 12 years. The first NFL dynasty of the millennium. So while the other 44 states now think of us more for our wins than clam chowder, that's fine. Just ask anybody here. The Pats are all we think about, too. Gillette is proud to have played a role in the ascent of the New England Patriots, our New England Patriots. Because the logo hanging high above Gillette Stadium isn't just team sponsorship. It's our declaration of allegiance to the fans from Maine, New Hampshire, Vermont, Massachusetts, Connecticut, and Rhode Island. The New Englanders that have helped make Gillette what we are today. From Boston for New England, we're Gillette, the best a man can get.
The Patriots and Revolution Pro Shop has everything you need to show your pride on game day and every day. Choose from the widest selection of hats, tees, authentic jerseys, and much more, including Pro Shop exclusives and sideline gear from Adidas, Nike, and New Era. The Pro Shop is located next to Gillette Stadium and is open Monday through Saturday, 10 a.m. to 9 p.m., and Sunday, 10 a.m. to 7 p.m., or shop online 24/7 at PatriotsProShop.com. The Patriots and Revolution Pro Shop, your team, your store.
NFL Mobile from Verizon is perfect for a guy like me. At home or on the go, NFL Mobile keeps me connected to all the action across the league. I can watch live NFL games on Thursday, Sunday, and Monday nights. Track player and team news, player tweets, watch NFL Network 24/7 and more. Plus, with NFL Mobile, I have real-time access to NFL Red Zone, so I can watch every touchdown from every game on Sunday afternoons. So I'll never be without football. Especially when Jaws and Muffin can't find that oh-so-perfect spot. Oh, hold up. Go, go. That's it. Come on, kick it into hyperdrive. Touchdown!
Get NFL Mobile on America's largest 4G LTE network and discover why more people choose Verizon than any other network. Call star NFL to download NFL Mobile now. Verizon, official wireless provider of the New England Patriots. Airtime message and data usage applies. Available on select smartphones. Coverage not available everywhere. Don't call or text while driving.
Follow the Patriots like never before with the official Patriots mobile apps for iPhone, Android, and iPad. Get instant access to all the latest news, stats, and analysis, plus live Patriots Game Center. Search New England Patriots in your device's app marketplace to get the latest Patriots news, audio, and video in the palm of your hand. Download the official Patriots mobile apps today and stay connected.
It's Jim from Ace Ticket. Ace Ticket is the official ticket partner of the Boston Red Sox, which means you'll always get the best seats at the lowest prices, guaranteed. And now with Ace Ticket, you can have your Red Sox tickets delivered right to your phone. You don't even need to print them out. It's so easy. Ace Ticket has your seats of all the summer's concerts. And right now, Ace has special savings on Tom Petty and One Direction. It's so easy to get the ticket you want in the service you deserve. Visit Ace Ticket or call 1-800-MY-SEATS. 1-800-MY-SEATS.
Xbox One is not only a game console, but the home entertainment system every fantasy football fan needs. The NFL on Xbox One is your connection to all things fantasy, giving you personalized news, highlights, stats, and scores instantly on your TV. Watching your favorite team play on Sunday, but wondering how your fantasy players are doing? With built-in fantasy football, track your updates on TV in real time across NFL.com and multiple fantasy leagues, all while still watching live games. Xbox One, bringing fantasy football to life. Now available for $3.99. At a Microsoft store near you.
And now, great moments in PFW in progress history.
I'll tell you, I was at the beach on Tuesday and there were a lot of high school girls there.
So you were lying on your stomach drilling for oil all day?
Oh my God.
And I'm the inappropriate one.
That's another great moment from PFW in progress.
All right, back here in PFW in progress, 508-298-0398 is the Ace Ticket Hotline. Web radio at patriots.com is the email address.
We're talking about hot sauce a little bit. Brian in
Essex,
Vermont.
Somebody just mentioned it. We never talked about it.
I just thought this was interesting. I got the Dave's Insanity sauce once. It was actually quite good. However, not really hot enough.
Oh, come on.
I know it sounds crazy.
It
clocks in at around 180,000 Scoville units, which is around 36 times hotter than a jalapeno. After the Dave's, we graduated to Blair's 3 a.m., which is between 1.5 and 2 million Scoville, or roughly 300 times hotter than a jalapeno, and not a sauce. It's a cooking additive.
Where does that come from?
What?
Scoville?
No, the on a steak thing that you do.
Jeff Dunham.
Andy's big head.
No, Jeff Dunham has a ventriloquist act with a jalapeno on a steak.
That's what he says?
On a steak.
And the person who sent in the sauce writes in, Steve from Killeen, Texas.
Steve from Killeen sent that in?
Yeah, I apologize for the pain that Dave's Insanity caused, but hope recent lunches and time have put that behind you, including Mr. Rook. Now, the Patriots defense, do you expect we will stick with more zone instead of man-to-man given the lack of speed of linebackers? Granted, the expectation is a linebacker would need help over the top against an elite receiver. What do you think?
The talk has been all man. I mean, right down
all man. Not even a mix, a blend.
No. I mean, the talk has been a lot about man coverage. And not just from us, but Daron Harmon talked about it. I wanted to really work on my man coverage this offseason. I needed to get better at that and what we're going to do and blah, blah, blah. There's been a lot of talk of man coverage. My guess is they'll mix it up, yes, but there's been a lot of talk of the man.
Finally, Cat in Chicago.
I don't want to see, by the way, Revis in any zones.
No.
If you want to do stuff with the other guys,
well,
fine.
You can have man zone. There's, you know.
Yeah, but
I want Revis playing man to man.
Yeah.
What do you mean man zone?
You can have a combination.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I wanted him to break down man zone concepts. see if he was out of phase.
Cat in Chicago needs to copyright the CIC Nightmare Fantasy League. And thanks for all the PFW curing cancer vibes. I've now begun my jujitsu training. So, like the Pats, I'm getting ready to bring it.
Nice.
So that's Steve and Killeen.
Jiu-jitsu.
Good job,
go to the
Steve.
Phones. Antoine from Jersey City has been holding out for a while. Hey, Antoine.
Hey, how you doing, guys?
What's up, Twan?
Nothing. Chester, I don't know. He hasn't been able to call in because he's busy, but he actually had wanted to relay someone from the Patriots Patriots Football Weekly Elite group. He wanted someone to relay the message. He actually did the ALS challenge, Ice Bucket Challenge, and he wanted to nominate all four of y'all. You.
Oh, boy.
He wanted to nominate Kevin, Andy, Paul, Eric, and Fred. I don't know if anybody has told y'all about this, but this is something that he wanted
to do. Yeah, I saw it.
I didn't see it. I've already done it, and Paul's already done it. Kevin's already done it, but it sounds like Eric and Fred are on tap.
I have not done it. You guys have done it?
Yeah.
Who'd you do it for? Yeah. Who challenged you?
My friend.
Oh, your friend did? And your son challenged you?
I did mine in the studio.
Yes, I know. I had to sit in the puddle after the post-game show.
You did the ice bucket thing in the studio?
Yes.
He's not the brightest.
Yeah, that's not too good.
It's like my nephew did it in a hotel. Like they went to the ice machine.
Yeah.
And he did it. Oh, yeah, I don't think anybody would know where that came from, you idiot. I mean, and where does he do it? In the studio. The only thing is my nephew's like 20.
This will be like a culture
such
here now.
Idiot.
ALS Challenger's gone bad. Electrocutions. Yeah. Tonight at 11.
Hashtag.
Well, Eric, we've been challenged, so I guess we're going to have to do it.
Yep. No.
What do you mean?
We don't have to do it.
He's such an a-hole. He is the world's biggest a-hole.
Now, I can only imagine that you're saying no because everybody else is doing it, so you don't want to be a conformist.
Well, no, it's not because everyone else is doing it. It's just not something I want to do.
Donate to charity?
No.
Eric would be the poor sport about it.
No, it's not. It has nothing.
You're
to do with,
right.
No. Antoine, it has nothing to do with being a poor sport. I have causes that are important to me. That's a good cause, sure, but it's not one of my causes.
Yeah, but what's the big deal?
Because I don't want to do it. Like Paul's thing about the hazing. If you don't want to do it, you don't do it.
No, but this isn't hazing.
This is charitable hazing.
No,
and he's not going to stand for it.
You don't have to do it.
That's
the difference between hazing. You have to do the hazing.
Right. You don't have to do this, but why wouldn't you?
Because it's not something I want to do.
Doesn't want to cure ALS.
I guess. All right.
All right.
On
to the football.
So it sounds like Fred is willing.
I'm always willing.
Now
we
got to make. How are we going to do this?
Just get some water. We'll go outside and you dump it over my head, and I'll bring a change of clothes.
But no. But
are you going to donate?
Yeah, you have to.
Yeah, you have to.
Because, see, that's not how it was worded in the beginning.
You're supposed to give $10.
Right. Yeah, no, but in the beginning, it was told it was
$100 if you don't do it.
If you don't.
I did it.
10 if you do it, 100 if you don't.
Look at you, big spender.
To me, as long as you donate something. You got people out there doing it just because it's a fad now. As long as you donate
right.
something.
As long as you give
You know what? It is a fad, but it's a fad that's worked.
Right.
$40 million. Is that what I saw this morning?
How much?
$40 million.
$40 million.
24 days.
Wow. There was a ridiculous percentage up, based on last summer to this summer.
Yeah.
So, hats off.
I mean, Eric, I could see, if there was big money involved and you're already doing stuff. Yeah, I could see the.
Yeah, and I'm not a big fan of the forced charity.
Right.
The one that seems like the arm is on you,
right.
on your shoulder. You're gonna donate to this. I don't like that.
Like when Tip maybe buy the snacks from his daughter's.
Yeah, little intimidation there.
No, but see,
I don't. I don't look at this like that.
The other thing is, and I know some of you know this already, but I have started my own charity for my own cause that is very important to me, and part of that, I have been spending every available dollar that I've had on trying to get this thing established.
Sure.
I don't have, if I'm going to spend money on a charity, it's going to be my charity, not somebody else's.
Well, what if everybody said that?
Everybody has started their own charity.
I know, but this really doesn't require more than $10.
Where will the Russian dogs go, Fred? Where will the Russian dogs go? I'm just kidding.
I have no idea what he's talking about.
Eric just gave Paul.
Don't get all
serious. I didn't know what he's talking about.
Don't get all serious.
Oh, you remember the Olympics.
I'm just teasing with the sushi thing. I was just making a joke. You got all serious on me. I don't want you to get mad. I was just making a stupid joke.
The Sosi or Sosi Strays or whatever they were labeled.
Yeah, the Bob Sosi dogs.
Yes.
Hey, Fred.
What, Antoine?
I apologize about
that. Shop your favorites. Victoria's Secret.
On to a football question. This defensive tackle that we had traded for from the Green Bay Packers, Worthy. Has anybody seen him work out? Has anybody, seen,
he's been at practice.
If he might even make the team?
It's too early to say that. But he's been at practice.
You have to remember, he hadn't practiced yet this summer when he arrived. He was on NFI with the Packers. And we've seen one day when
practice.
He was out there.
Well, one camp practice.
Right.
Yeah.
So, all we'll really have to base it on is any preseason action he gets. But it's an interesting story because you have basically, when he arrived, it was basically 7 days or 8 days until the first cut next Tuesday to kind of figure out whether he's worthy of sticking around.
Mm.
Mm.
And it's all about the base.
No treble.
All right, that's all I have.
That's the other guy.
All right, thanks, Antoine.
Fred, have you heard that song yet?
What's that?
It's all about the bass.
I have not heard the song.
Kevin, can you play a little snippet of that?
Can't play music.
You can play 10
seconds. Can I ask?
Just play it.
I wasn't here I was on vacation when this happened. What exactly happened with this music thing?
What do you mean?
Why can't we play music?
We play a little music.
Happens that all of a sudden we don't play music?
No, the big thing is the league, I don't know if people know that the league launched a new app called NFL Now.
Okay.
And it's this, cool app where all the teams produce all this video and it goes into one app and you tell the app who your favorite teams are and you get fed all this video, blah, blah, blah. Well, the league is asking the teams to really produce it, high quality production. Don't just throw up video, but we want lower thirds. We want music underbeds. But they're saying if you're going to use music, you got to make sure that it's licensed music. So the league bought this license from a company from like
is
that.
It ASCAP?
Yeah.
What is it?
ASCAP.
Yeah, something like that.
Is it?
And so that if you use it from that library, you're covered as
right.
the team.
Right.
And so, that's where this whole thing came from. They want to make sure that teams are being careful about the music they use.
Would this be an example of the careful nature? Would this be being diligent? This is a terrible song.
It's
Andy
awesome.
Loves it.
This is awful.
This is all about that bass.
One of the worst songs I've ever heard.
And the girl that sings it isn't even attractive.
Okay,
that's the point of the song!
You can cut it. Yeah, okay. But that's
she's bringing the boom
that's
back.
The whole music.
No, that's what, it's not going anywhere.
It's good.
What's the point of the song?
She's bringing, she's not a size 2. Oh.
She's a big girl.
She's a thicker.
I'm a big girl.
She's not that big.
She's in the video. She's, thick.
You've seen the video?
Probably 50 times.
Oh, boy.
Sydney loves it. My daughter loves it. That's a good message. I also like the new Taylor Swift song while we're on bad, catchy songs. Play is gonna play. Play.
I haven't heard that one either.
I don't have any.
Hate is gonna hate. Hate.
Other than the fact that I'm a man and, she hates all men. I don't really have a problem with Taylor Swift.
But now she's pop. She's gone all pop.
Did you find that one, Kevin? I don't think I've heard that one either.
We're going to do top 40.
All right. Let's go back to
PFW's top 5 at 5.
Let's get to
and
the
now,
phones again.
And this one's going on
a
to
long
Eric.
Distance dedication.
Trey's in Memphis. Hey, Trey.
Hey, what's going on, fellas?
Hey, Trey.
All right, man. I want to talk about a few things, man.
Anything
I know
Patriots last... related?
Yeah. I know the last few days, a lot of people have really been scrutinizing and real hard on Stephen Ridley. And, you know, I can't, you know, it's fair and it's kind of not unfair. And it's kind of unfair. You know, our team as a whole, man, you know, if in big games, man, just, you know, we don't really show up. You know, and you look at the last two AFC championships. We didn't lose those games because of Stephen Ridley, right or wrong.
Right, it's true, correct.
So you know, true enough, he'll fumble what a couple of times early in the season. Then he'll have like an uncharacteristic one. Well, I'm not gonna say uncharacteristic. I mean, but you know, just he'll have like a freakish fumble. You know, which is annoying.
But doesn't it? Yeah.
Go ahead.
Doesn't it bother you, Trey, that because of his fumbles during the regular season, you can't count on him in the playoffs?
Well, he kind of thought, I mean, but, you know, you look at our defense on third down during the regular season, and you can't count on them in the AFC Championship.
Right, but, I mean, so, but maybe if Ridley was in the running game was more of a factor, it would be better against these better defenses. You know what I'm saying?
I was going to look it up to see exactly what it was. But he has fumbled in the playoffs too.
Yeah, yeah.
And they don't put that in his stats. But he fumbled against Denver.
The game.
No, well, okay. Well, he didn't cost us the game, but he fumbled in multiple playoff games.
Yeah.
He fumbles in multiple regular season games and in multiple playoff games.
And that, yeah, and that fumble he had against the Ravens. I mean, man, hell, he got hit by.
Okay, how about the one against Denver?
Well, yeah, true. You saw it in the regular season.
Right.
No, in the playoffs, when we beat the crap out of Tim Tebow here. Mm-hmm. He fumbled in that game, right?
Yeah, right. I remember that.
The Ravens one would qualify as freakish. You use that.
The Ravens one, I give him a pass on.
That
absolutely.
Right. You get knocked the ball.
It's football.
Then,
things happen.
Right. But I'm not.
Someone once told us.
I'm not going to use Stephen really as a scapegoat, man. I mean, because we have far bigger issues than him holding on, you know, to the football.
And wait, who's using him as a scapegoat? People are just pointing out the flaw in his game.
A lot of fans are doing it, man.
I've never
Stephen
once
Ridley,
heard
that. No.
A scapegoat means you're blaming the loss.
Yeah.
You're making him the fall guy. I've never heard him be made the fall guy for anything.
No, I have not either. I think he gets a lot of criticism for fumbling, but I don't think he's a scapegoat.
Right.
Yeah.
You shouldn't get criticism for fumbling. It's bad.
Well, yeah. I really want to, then I heard a lady the other day, which then kind of like really getting on my nerves. You have a lot of females now. They're calling, and it's kind of hard for me to really understand, you know, what they're talking about. Okay, I had this lady was talking about,
she
was talking the other day, I really hate Danny Amendola. I didn't like him before he came. I really don't believe that.
Wow, calling out Kat. Wow. Mm.
I
didn't like him before he came. Does that count? I like him more now than I did before he was here, because I know him a little bit.
I don't.
But I really do feel that, with all seriousness, man, I really feel that, you know, really is going to do better. And I think Amendola's, man, is going to play a big part in the offense.
Basically think two guys who have a very obvious track record are going to break free from that track record. Because
I'm not gonna say he's not. I'm not gonna say really is not gonna put a ball on the ground.
Yeah, I wouldn't.
But
tell you either.
I do believe that, you know, I think he's gonna get better. I'm not gonna say he's not gonna fumble now.
Year 9 jump.
Yeah,
I'm not gonna.
It's only his fourth year.
I'm not gonna. Say I'm counting he's LSU. Not gonna fumble, guy.
He's gonna fumble because that's what he does.
All right,
it doesn't mean I hate
him. All right, Trey. Thanks for the call.
You take the good, you take the bad.
And I believe Kat, by the way. I believe Kat didn't like Danny Amendola.
I believe her, too. I do, too.
Why would you, you know?
I think plenty of Patriots fans didn't like him before he got here because for 2 years he was rumored to be coming to New England before he got here.
And so they had reason to be interested and invested in what he was.
Amendola, you're talking
yes.
about. Yeah.
And I believe people when he signed here didn't want him, weren't happy, thought they overpaid. This isn't one of those revisionist ones. This is more like Carl Crawford. They didn't like him when the rumor was that he was coming, and they didn't like him
here. He came as a replacement for Wes Welker. Remember when the talk of Amendola first started, it wasn't to replace Wes Welker, you know? Some of it was because Wes Welker was hurt.
And it was probably perceived leverage and all that.
Yeah. Let's go to Dave in Connecticut. Another Dave, I hope. Hey, Dave.
Do you know the other Dave?
You know?
Dave?
Do you know any other Daves in Connecticut?
I didn't do that.
You did.
I did not.
You did.
Cool. No, I didn't.
You're the only one who could have.
I did not do that.
Well, you could have.
Let's go to Christian in Miami. Hey, Christian.
Hey, what's up, guys?
Hey.
Do you hate women callers, too?
Are you guys excited to Miami in 2 weeks?
What's that?
Are you guys excited to come to Miami in 2 weeks?
Sure.
As
long as they play a game, I'm
now, as long as the weather's nice.
You were in Miami recently, and you complained about some things. What was the problem?
I was at the Fountain Blue at the end of July, and the pool and beach were so packed, it was not even worth going to. Mm.
Yeah, I hate Miami. Like, I live here, but, like, traffic... Everything's crazy.
Look,
I can't wait for us to beat the shit out of Miami.
Whoa.
All right, that's
now,
enough.
Christian, why do you have to do that?
You got a one-game suspension.
That's enough. You're out.
He's got to go. That's our rule.
You're done.
Right, we've made that rule in the past. You're not banned. You can come back next show.
We'll talk
next
to you Tuesday.
But you got
even tomorrow night on the Dunkin' Donuts Patriots pregame social. Give us a call.
You just need a little cooling off period.
Right. Go sit.
But I do believe we'll, you know, beat the you-know-what out of
him. I thought for sure he was going to say it.
All right, got to go.
Then we can tell Fred, you got to go. You got to take the rest.
Beat the bag out of him. Dave's in Connecticut. He's back.
Hey, guys. How we doing?
Good.
Good, you know?
I got three for you guys. First of all, I want to give a little love and shout-out to Jim Kelly there. They're saying that he's cancer-free, you know, with his situation.
Yeah. Let's hope so.
You know, that's what they're reporting today. So, you know, God willing, you know, I mean, he's dealing with that situation. Secondly, I know we have to wait and see what comes out here, but maybe this was why the Patriots didn't go and really go after Blount here. I don't know if you guys, I'm sure you heard the little situation he got himself in with.
Yes, he was up in smoke, yep.
Yeah, up in smoke, there you go. And, you know, and maybe that's why New England really didn't go after him. As a free agent,
I just don't think they value.
I think half the league smokes pot.
Yeah, yep. I don't think they value the position enough to re-sign a guy like that.
It's still illegal.
It's not illegal everywhere. And I mean, there have been very prominent members of this team that smoked dope. I'm sorry, there were.
Yeah, I'm sure there have.
Including him.
You know, I mean, it's you know, it's just something that's out there. And thirdly, I was reading an article with Tony Gonzalez that he would be receptive to maybe coming back.
Tempted, yes.
Yes.
Said he'd be tempted.
That started here. we started that rumor, and Tony picked up on it.
And some of us believe he will.
All right, bye, Dave.
All of a sudden, he's under a pile of leaves.
Kevin is being very mean right now.
Yeah. Jimmy from East Lansing, Michigan writes, and I understand the disdain Patriots fans feel toward Ridley. However, he's a legitimate lead back. He's a physical, between-the-tackles player that has one problem, fumbling. God forbid he alleviates that problem, and you have on your hands a 12-touchdown, 1,300-yard back that adds another dimension to your offense. It's not impossible in a contract year.
But he did that already.
He had
1,263 yards and 12 touchdowns.
Okay.
I don't think he's the guy that you think he is.
But if he can do it without fumbling, that's...
I think if he didn't fumble at all that year, he still would have been a 1,200-yard back. That's a complimentary piece at best.
And if I were 6'4", I might not be sitting in this chair.
I mean,
ifs and nuts. I mean, the if thing.
I see the talent in him.
I see talent,
right.
too.
Everybody
But
does.
I don't see a dynamic presence.
You also have to see the fumbles.
If your aunt had balls...
She'd be my uncle. Can I read the Gonzalez quotes?
So your aunt's kind of a
friend. here's the Gonzalez quotes from Newsday, by the way. Okay, Freddie, I want you to listen to these. The temptation would be there, but I don't know what the gain would be. I've always wanted a ring. That's been my main goal as a player over the last 15 years of my career. You're really trying to get that ultimate goal. But I'd be a mercenary to come in and get a Super Bowl ring. Play with a team for what, 6, 7 weeks? And even if I got the ring, it wouldn't be the same as going through the fight with the team from the beginning to the end. I don't think that will happen. The temptation will be there, but I'm 100% happy with my decision. I've had teams ask me to come back and play for them. I won't name those teams, but I'm happily retired, so I'm not even thinking about it. I'm looking forward to getting to work with these guys from CBS.
I believe him as much as I believe Brett Favre was retired 17 times.
Okay.
And he's not even thinking about it, but he's like, you know, if I played 6 games, because I've thought about when
exactly.
I would come back.
Well, I think that's what he thought about.
He's thought about it, and he knows
which
teams
he's thought about
he's
it, and he knows
with.
He doesn't want to do it.
If
now,
he has the chance.
You think of you, Andy and Eric took it a different way. I'm curious to see.
I say, you know, the only thing you could, the glimmer of hope there if you're a team that want, you know, he says it would be tempting. That's the only thing in that whole thing that said, okay.
But he already got asked.
But everything else.
Yeah, but he clearly doesn't
want to. He doesn't
want to
go through training camp.
But everything else.
He didn't go through training camp last year.
If you took out that one line, everything else would say he's not coming back.
Right. But you can't take out that one line.
No, you can't. But it's just—it's like a throwaway line and a stream of thought answer.
I just, see, in general, in general, I don't believe athletes when they say.
See, I think the only way
when they insist that they're retired, I don't believe them.
Yeah.
I mean, 100% most of them are lying. Right now doesn't mean anything to me because you'd be disrespectful
right.
if you said,
"Oh, I don't care.
I'm only going to be at CBS for 2 months, but
exactly.
don't tell them that."
We're aligned on that. I don't think this has one drop to do with CBS. No. I think he would drop them like in a heartbeat.
And I don't think they'd have a problem with it.
No.
I think it's great publicity if
absolutely.
He leaves CBS.
I don't think it has anything at all to do with what he's currently doing.
I bet you
doing.
Could get an interview with him when he's on the Patriots in November.
Might be one of the reasons they signed him.
I think if Gronkowski were to get banged up, you know,
even if he's not.
You know, knock on wood, it doesn't happen. But if he's all of a sudden week 8, week 9, he's out for the year, then I could see the Patriots making a hard push for him. And that's, you know, you're just knocking a guy over and feeding into his ego. I could see him doing it. Otherwise, I don't see him coming back to be a spare part and just get
oh,
a ring.
I don't think he'll
I don't
be
think
a spare
you
part.
I think backing up Gronkowski would be a spare part.
See, I think he'd be one of the four guys on
right.
the field catching passes.
Right.
Yeah,
I think right now
he'd be your move tight end.
He's the second best pass right. catcher on this team. Behind to me, only Gronkowski would be
remember
ahead
those
of him.
Pages yeah. of the playbook
Gronkowski.
That we threw away when Hernandez killed somebody
yeah.
allegedly. Let's put him back in the playbook.
All right. Wow. Well, I don't think he would come back to do that. I don't think he'd come back to be Aaron Hernandez.
No, but if I'm the Patriots, I'd love it. I'd love
oh,
it.
God, that's a whole different yeah. argument. I yeah. would be.
Wait,
I'm
why
would
he come back?
I don't think he would come back to be Aaron Hernandez to Gronk. I think he wants to come back to be the man
oh,
and the man
no
only.
No way. He wants to win a ring.
Yeah.
But if he wanted to win a ring, he'd be on a team. If that
no,
was the main goal.
He doesn't
goal,
want to go through all of the tough
right.
part.
Right.
So he doesn't want to be given a ring.
He wants,
so he doesn't
well, he
want
he says
it.
That, but if he were given
okay,
a ring,
we'll
he'd
see.
Take the ring.
I disagree with you. That's
he will
all.
Accept the ring, and he'll be crying on
exactly,
the field.
He
I think if
he
that
wins.
Was his number one important goal, he'd be on a team.
Him and Ray Bourque.
What?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Similar, wait, very similar.
I don't get you.
Ray
you
Bourque never retired.
I know.
No, but I know what
it's
he's
not
saying.
Similar
went to
at
a team,
all.
Got his
he,
ring.
He was
and
a mercenary. He got
yeah.
the ring, and then that was it.
Well, he wasn't.
That's
quite
not
a
even an out. Not even close to being.
I know
insane.
He got traded. I know it's that
I know,
different.
The Bruins
but,
let him out
yeah.
to go. I understand how it worked.
We were the
but it would only be
that.
Similar if he retired and came back to
all
go to a different
not,
team.
All the details aren't exactly lined up.
I'm with you, Fred. I know. I know what you meant. I know what you meant.
Jeez, lots of guys get traded at the end of their careers.
Fred, you don't even believe your own crap now. You don't.
But don't you think he automatically would become the second best pass catcher on this team right now?
I do.
Like I
second best.
Yeah.
Yeah, second best tight end I think he'd be on the team. I don't think
well,
he'd want that.
He wasn't the best last year on his team.
He was the best tight end on his team last year.
Oh, I'm talking tight ends. I'm talking pass catchers.
Okay. I don't think you. I don't think he.
He's not going to ride the pine and say, "Gee, I hope Gronk gets hurt so they can put me in." He'll be on the field all the time.
No, I. Listen,
we couldn't stop him.
I don't know why.
We certainly would use him.
Okay. I don't agree. That's all. It's not like this big personal.
No, I know, but I don't even understand your premise like that.
I don't think he wants to be a complimentary piece. I think he wants to be courted.
No,
I think he would have 6 or 7 passes a game.
Rose pedals at his feet. He wants to be needed and wanted.
I think that, but I think once he's here, I don't think he would mind being a complimentary piece.
Then I think he should be on a team if that's what he wants. I don't think he wants it. I disagree with you. Today.
I just
that's
don't
all.
Think he wants all the
I don't
hard
think he wants
work.
It.
Right.
I exactly.
Like last year, I promised my son that
exactly.
I would be there.
It's
so
hard.
I can't come to camp.
If you come to the Patriots, you're not going to just ride the coattails of everybody. It's hard, and I don't think he wants it.
We flipped angles because we were talking about this as a make your case, and I am on the record of not wanting Brian Waters to play like half a season because I, quote, don't like mercenaries. And we discussed it, and I said, but this is different. This is a Hall of Fame tight end. This isn't just some run-of-the-mill guard.
If you're flipping this to the Patriots' perspective, I'm 1,000% with you, Andy. I couldn't be more aligned with you. The Patriots absolutely should want him.
What about me?
And you. I mean, but
I like him too.
No.
He includes you
Andy
as the Patriots perspective.
Andy and I, he talked about the make your case. So he said it's flipped. I'm from the Patriots perspective, home run. That's why I wrote it in the mailbag. People are asking about Dustin Keller and JerMichael Finley. I don't care about them. Tony Gonzalez would make a difference.
But I think he'd be a bit player. That's what I don't understand.
I think he thinks he would be a bit player. They don't need a star. They don't need the Patriots need Tony Gonzalez to be Tony Gonzalez.
They don't need
him to be the man. I think he wants to be the man.
See, that's where I disagree. I think they might need him to be the man. That's why I slot him in as the number two pass catcher.
The man?
Oh, I don't think he's the man.
The man in terms of
they need him to be Tony.
I'm not sure that Julian Edelman or Danny Amendola or anybody's going to be any good come November or December. And I think there's a chance that Gonzalez would be your second best option.
If that happens, I think he would catch six. To me, it's Gronk.
I think he would catch six or seven passes every game because Brady would trust him. He would understand how good he. I think he would be a major aspect of this offense.
I want him to be here even if he catches only two or three catches a game, you know?
Yeah. Well, I'll take him no matter what, but I think he would be a big player
I'm with you on that. I don't think he's interested in that.
Okay.
I think he's interested in being the guy that he was against us in that Sunday night game where he's targeted 15 times. I don't think that's happening here. That's all. That's the only thing that we disagree on. I don't think that Gonzalez is interested in coming back to be second banana.
All right, let's get to the Ace Ticket Hotline.
The Falcons threw the ball to him every freaking play.
Jay's in Colorado. Hey, Jay.
Hey, what's up, guys?
Nothing much.
Hey, I got a couple questions for you. Do you think Logan Mankins could benefit from having a conversation with Hog Hannah if Hog Hannah could instill some of his legendary work ethic into Logan Mankins?
Did Hog Hannah have a legendary work ethic?
Well, hold on. The question I have is, what makes you think Logan Mankins doesn't?
Yeah, well, that's true, too.
He doesn't need any discussions with Hog Hannah. He already has a great work ethic.
All right, Jay. I think Jay, you know, he's from Colorado. And I think, it's legal there.
Right, yeah,
so
that's true.
He's a little bit...
Well, you know. I would also say that Mankins and Hannah have...
You want to get high?
Hey, I facilitated one of those conversations.
Yeah, they talked.
That's right. We sat down, and
I'm with.
I guarantee you wouldn't question Logan Mankin's work ethic to his face,
right?
Whether you were high or not.
Mm-hmm. And John Hannah was just a freak. He was gifted. I mean, I've never heard.
They were both farm boys.
I know he was incredibly intense, and like before games, you didn't even want to talk to him. But
he was kind of like Mankins.
What?
He was a hard worker.
I'm sure he's a hard, but that like wasn't his. You know, claim to fame. You know, he was a real hard worker, but I didn't think it was legendary. Well, yeah, I mean,
I don't know.
I'm a big John Hannah fan, but that wasn't.
Who are guys that you would consider their work ethic was their claim to fame?
Jerry Rice.
Okay, but you know, you got any others?
Because he caught bricks.
I think all the stars.
Walter Payton
worked just as hard as Jerry Rice. Stars, I'm talking about. There's very few guys like Randy Moss that have perceived to be. Kind of a waste because they were so gifted. They could have been better than Jerry Rice if they worked like Jerry
Rice.
But
that's kind of my point.
Most of the stars work like that.
I think John Hannah was like all of them. You know, he worked hard. You know, but we didn't talk about John Hannah like, oh, what an incredible. You know, that wasn't why we talked about him. Mm. So I'm just curious that I think he was just kind of playing with us. Had I kept him on, I think he might have, you know, done something that we would have had to take him off anyway.
Well, yeah, probably.
Let's go to Jordan from Prince George. Hey, Jordan.
Hey, guys. How you doing today?
Good. What's up?
Hey, I listened to you guys probably each show twice at least in a week, and then the third time if the girlfriend gets mad at me for listening to it twice already. she was actually the picture I sent you, Paul, is Silver Fox U.
Oh, yeah.
On Twitter there, yeah.
Very nice. I showed that to my wife, by the way. She's a little jealous.
Then she saw you guys on TV. I was pretty good. But you guys are like rock stars in our family for whatever reason. I don't know why, but a great show as always.
Thanks.
Random question about this Levi Stadium here. you guys know the answer, because I know you guys migrated over to Gillette Stadium. I can't find the answers. Maybe strippers will know. But when you have season ticket holders, for example, at Candlestick, when they go into the new Levi's Stadium, how does that work? Like, how do they get to pick their seats? Or do they assign the seats? Does it go by, I guess, like grandfather, whoever was there first? How does that work?
They had to buy them.
You guys know?
They had to buy them.
How did it work? How did it
they
work
have
here,
PSLs friend? There. So in San Francisco, listening. You had to buy a personal seat license, some of which were upwards of $80,000.
Oh,
so,
geez.
Oh, yeah. They're a PSL stadium.
Right.
So when you, have, say, you're, 10th row, 50-yard line, are you guaranteed that when you go over to Levi, or do you have to?
Well, if you plunk down 80 grand.
If you pay up, I think. Yeah. But,
no, I'm sure they had a lot of people being moved around and,
Or some people dropping off because they couldn't afford that.
How does it work with PSLs? Is it all season ticket holders?
I believe so.
It depends on the stadium. I know in New York, they reserve some seats that weren't PSL. There was a certain area.
And you pay 80 grand and that's it? Or?
Well, there's different levels. Like some of the seats are 10 grand. Some of her are 80 grand.
But now, so what does 10 grand get you?
You own the seat.
You own the
forever?
Seat.
Forever?
No, you pay
a yearly fee.
$10,000 every year?
No.
You pay the season ticket fee.
It's a one-time fee to own the seat, and then you pay for it, the seat price every year.
So you get nothing for it.
Well, you get the right to sell it yourself. So you own it. Like right now, as a season ticket holder to like the Patriots, you don't have the right to technically sell your seat. Your account, let's say. You can sell your seats every year to somebody or Ace Ticket or whatever.
But the ownership
but
of
you
the
can't sell the ownership of package. Your seat to somebody else.
Yeah,
you can do like a transfer.
I
to
misunderstood
a family
the
member.
Whole PSL thing. That's a ripoff.
It is.
Oh, wow.
It is.
That's why we didn't do it.
But that's how they fund these stadiums.
But I do know, to answer your question, Jordan, when people went from the old stadium to the new stadium, you didn't automatically get exactly the same seat. They worked with everybody, because I have a lot of season ticket holder friends, and most of them were satisfied that they were in the same area. They were offered the seats, and some of them, and obviously the prices went up, so some of them didn't choose to stay in the same general area that they were. They moved to more affordable seats, but as far as I know, everybody was at least given options when they went from the old Foxborough Stadium to Gillette.
It's just an oddball thought when I was looking at that Levi Stadium. It's pretty neat. I'm in BC over here in Canada. I came over there twice now to Gillette to watch games. It cost a fortune from all the way over here, but I plan on coming again. And just, you got to buy tickets. I'm almost at last minute to get a decent price. I know when I went down for the Buffalo game last year, it was almost $750 a seat.
Well, there is a way around that. If you do plan on coming to more than one game a year, you can join the Patriots wait list. It's like $100, but then you have access to Ticket Exchange, and that's where the season ticket holders put, and then you buy them at face value.
Well, see, that's not bad, because we do that with the Canucks here in D.C., but that's $100. You save a lot of money in the long run, right?
Yeah, you do, because you could spend that in just one purchase at one of the ticket brokers.
Look at it. If you could buy $150 seats, you buy two of them. That's $300 instead of $700 or whatever you were buying Ace ticket.
Right. And you get other amenities. If you get first crack at concerts and stuff like that if you're a waitlist member. But again, it's only if you're around here, it's worth it. If you're coming for once a year, it may not be. I don't know.
And Paul will actually meet you at the gate and take a photo with your wife.
Yeah.
There you go. Yeah, last thought, I think Evan Dole is going to have a big year. I don't know why. I haven't seen much practice. I've watched the preseason games. Maybe just the thought. I think he's going to be a diamond in the rough this year.
I'm
the only one.
I think he's got the ability.
I will pick him for my garbage pool like that. Was it Barb? That was awesome, though. But you guys have a great day. Rest of the week.
Okay. Thanks, you too.
Thanks,
all right. Tell your wife we said hello.
Speaking of Danny Amendola, Kat from Chicago's on the line. Hey, Kat.
Oh, yeah. Claws are out.
Guys.
Hey.
I hope I'm speaking slowly and clearly enough, because apparently my estrogen makes me not understandable by the greater male crowd.
Wow.
Well, we know how you women are at least once a month.
Oh. Yeah, apparently. I don't know what that was about. I have to think that maybe it's one of those, like, second grade, if I pick on the girl, maybe she'll notice me type thing.
Yeah, could be.
He thinks you sound hot and he wants to, attract some attention.
I don't know. That voice, though, was not very, the fake cat voice was not very, appealing, convincing. Was it?
No, it wasn't very good. But, you know, he's limited.
Sadly, that was the most offensive part of the call.
So are you expecting a big year from Danny Amendola like our last caller is?
Yeah, it's funny because all the people that say they're expecting a big year, they always follow it with, I don't know why.
I have nothing to base it on.
He did, yeah. It's good. Hey, if that's your feeling, that's cool. I guess that it's good to have, like, hope. It's good to, that's a great thing. No, I'm expecting him to get hurt maybe like week four and then be out for about 6 weeks and then come back and not be the same. So
and catch about 50 passes and average 10 yards a catch, and that's about it.
I would go like maybe 8 yards a catch. But
if by chance Amendola did play a complete season and had a good year, would you, you know, change your mind on him, or would you say that?
I don't know if I'd change my mind on it. He would need to be pretty spectacular for me to change my mind on him and not think it was an absolute fluke.
Let's put it this way. How did you feel about Julian Edelman before last season?
I'm okay with Edelman. Yeah, I figured he would pick up a lot of the slack. I was glad that we kept him, and I was glad that,
he's similar to
the more logical choice to, he's not the same. He's a little, I personally think, I know they're a little bit different. He's a little shiftier. He's a little faster.
I totally agree with Kat.
He's a different type of a player than Amendola is. I don't think Amendola's never lived up to
the potential. Everything Edelman does is like gravy because he was a quarterback coming out of kids.
Well, no, but I mean, the knock on Edelman was that, he would be good if he could just stay healthy. And then last year he finally stayed healthy and proved everybody right. And a lot of people changed their tune about him because he stayed healthy. Now he comes into this year, he's having a great camp. People look at him as a number one receiver. I'm wondering if people will change their minds about Amendola if he has that kind of year this year.
But he has to go even above and beyond. I'm not sure people would have been happy with Edelman's year for Amendola.
Yeah, and I totally agree.
He's a $30 million receiver.
It sounds like Kat feels the same way. If Amendola catches 105 passes for 1,100 yards and whatever, 6 touchdowns, I don't think the Kat's going to change her mind on him, and I wouldn't either.
I think that's a physical impossibility. I don't think it's possible for him.
Now, here's where the hate is seeping into this conversation.
Yeah, gets a little bit personal.
Getting a little out of control.
But here's the thing is that he's never had that productive a season. There has been seasons when he's been healthier with the Rams and earlier in his career, and he's never been able to do it then. It's not like the Rams had this slew of guys around him either who were taking – you know, all the reps and all, you know, he's never done it. He's never done it. Edelman really stepped up and he brought it to another level. I appreciate that. He's also, by the way, Amendola is getting more money than what he's worth, which is another part of the hate. I don't like the value.
But that's not his fault.
No, it's absolutely not his fault.
Don't hate the player, hate the game.
It's true.
No, you can hate the player.
He's so hip.
Player's gonna play.
Oh, stop. Play. That song is so bad.
I don't
hate
know that
is
one.
Hate.
Kat, you excited about game three in the preseason?
That's the Taylor Swift one?
Yeah.
I don't know that one.
You know what, Fred? You said something. So I was driving back.
So silly.
And I was listening to the show, and you guys were talking about sacks, and you were talking about coverage sacks versus regular sacks, and you were like,
sacks. The way she says it, it kind of sounds like sex.
Yeah.
You were totally like against, but coverage sacks don't count and all of that.
That wasn't me.
No, Fred was the opposite.
I was the opposite. I said, I don't care how they get the sacks.
Fred said he didn't care if they said that every time they had a sack. It was a coverage sack.
Well, then who was it? Was it you?
It was Paul.
No, it wasn't. No, it wasn't.
Who was it?
Paul.
I said for as many times.
I almost drove the car off the road laughing so hard. I would have killed for a coverage sack last season.
Right. No, I agree with you. I every one of them could be coverage sacks.
No, my only point about the coverage sack is I think you'll say as many times as you say that was a coverage sack, you're going to say, well, they can't cover them forever. They have to get there and so on a completed pass. And you're going to give the secondary a pass for the front line not getting there. Well, you know,
so coverage sacks versus rushless
completions. Guy had all day to throw.
Right.
I think
Paul's having a big show today.
I think you'll say that as many times.
I hope not.
Speaking of which, in the preseason, it looked like Ninkovich had a little quicker step there than
Ninkovic played well the other night in his eight snaps. He did look good.
He's not worn down yet.
Right.
Is he looking more physically fit or
not really
or anything?
No,
looks the same. He might have lost a little hair.
I think he might be the
I did notice that.
The most important, least talked about person on this defense.
Most important, least
because he's gotten to the point where he's so good.
In other words, he's underrated.
Yeah, he's underrated.
I think you can make that argument.
I think he's right where he should be. I think there were times when I was trying to pump him up as a Pro Bowl candidate that I was overrating him. I think he's right where he should be. He's a good, solid player. He's not a star. He's not a Pro Bowler.
Good leader.
Good leader. He is who he is.
Friend of PFW.
Yeah.
Good
All
guy.
Right, Kat, we got to go.
Thanks, guys.
Thanks for the call. Right,
thanks,
we'll end on Kat's positive note of Danny Amendola. all right.
Did she call it a physical impossibility?
Yeah. Yeah, she did.
105 catches, physically
That's
impossible.
Physical impossibility.
Good little fight at Bill's camp.
Yeah.
Wow.
They went to the ground.
Helmets off.
Brandon Spikes involved?
Jeez.
I don't see him.
Well, he has to be. He's the only linebacker left on the team. All right, so tomorrow.
That's probably him right there, right?
Pregame social.
I think he's
5-1 tomorrow, 5:15, guys?
Yes,
pre-game social, 5:15.
And then you guys are on a national broadcast tomorrow?
No.
No, that was last week.
That was last week.
That was last week.
How many times you want us to be on NFL?
So local. So just
local.
You don't
have to say it like that. Regional.
You'll be on the regionally local broadcast, and then post-game with Mark Bertrand.
Yes, the Xbox One post-game show.
All right, so big day on Patriots.com tomorrow. Stay on the site then, and for this show, we'll see you next Tuesday.
That was another unpredictable edition of PFW in Progress, the podcast for informed Patriots fans worldwide. Like what you heard from the PFW boys? Then support the show and follow your team even more closely by subscribing to the paper that makes the podcast possible, Patriots Football Weekly. Get your subscription right now by calling 1-800-494-PATS or by logging on to PFWOnline.com. There's even a web-only international option for Patriots fans outside the U.S. PFW in Progress, brought to you by the writers of Patriots Football Weekly.